This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
As if the show was named after me for some reason. 7 o'clock. It is a Tuesday night. You're in Studio C with us. We are the cast of the show with Clayton McKee right here coming to you live from Q Talk America. We do it every Tuesday from 7 to 10. Thank you for joining us. My gosh. Okay, we are kicking off. This is crazy. We are kicking off with Slovenia. Israel and the Russian Federation all listening right now.
Oh, well, shit.
The Russian Federation,
hey, everybody.
Is back.
I know, it's crazy.
Oh, we should be some kind of like link to the Russian Federation for their secret gay time. We're kind of like gay propaganda.
That's kind of what I'm feeling. Yeah.
We're like we're a different version of Pussy Riot.
Exactly. Underground.
I didn't mean that to be offensive to anybody. If you don't understand.
I want to be a Pussy Riot. It's amazing.
We all have dreams.
Yeah, exactly.
We all have dreams.
So there are gays in Sochi at this
point. Oh, there are. Well, yes. Well, hell.
I mean, if people are listening.
If people are anywhere walking, there are gays in Sochi.
That's right.
Last week, Marty, you weren't here when the one of the announcements was the mayor of Sochi.
Oh, yeah.
There are no gays in this city.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you're a fucking idiot.
I laughed my ass off.
You're a moron.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we are here. It's our first post. This is sort of the in-between for us. It's our post-Super Bowl, but still pre-Academy Awards.
And Olympics and so much.
And we have so much. There's a lot going
on. It's sweeps month. So really, we're right in the middle of 31 days of Oscar. Like there's.
Oh, is this sweeps month every year?
Yep.
Good to know. All right. It's probably
November,
why they
February,
plan all
April.
Of these things.
Yeah. I'm sure Al will tell us more entertainment later about that. Because
that's it. They're all sweeps. But the Oscars misses it, so it must be like February 2nd to March 2nd. Because otherwise the
Oscars would be out.
The Oscars would be out of sweeps, and they don't want that.
Oh, they don't want that at all. But like I said, we're here. Katie June, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, all of us sitting around the old Oval conference table that used to be in a hotel somewhere in Central Phoenix. We got
it
legally. We got it legally. Welcome to one and all the ships at sea and everybody who's listening. It is a Tuesday night and we have, I'm sure, a ton of things to talk about tonight, whether we know it or not. Because, well, my gosh, we've got Super Bowl, Marnie, you guys haven't seen each other in a couple weeks because
how are you?
You were out.
Stacey
Lewis filled in for you when you were gone. And then you were out, the one and only Miss Barbara Sevier.
Yes, I saw it. I saw the beginning of that. And the only thing really that I kind of went, I'm not invited to Oscars, huh?
Well,
whoops. Well, that's
too bad. She was drunk last week. Oh. She doesn't know what she says.
Apparently, because I caught that right away. And I'm like, well. And then I stopped listening. I said, fuck you.
I never liked those people anyways. That's
well, what she said. Actually, I was crying because I love those.
In fairness, last week's show was really cattywampus. That was the name of the show, but he was rolling when he got here because he'd spent half the day with Martinez.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
I got through like part of the hello. What are we doing? Headlines.
Yes.
And I was just cracking up, and then work got in my way. God damn it!
New Zealand is on board now.
Hey,
well. Is that Tomo? Tomo's here.
Hi, Tomo.
Hello, boys. Welcome to the show. So, we have a little catching up to do. I would again, Miss Katie June.
Yeah.
You were on the phone with something. You're doing business.
That was my sister's love life. So it is kind of a business, really.
Oh. Yeah. What's up with her?
Well, you know,
she's a pansexual.
Not anymore.
I remember.
Yeah. Well,
yes.
Change?
I think we determined that was probably not the appropriate term.
What is it?
Well, you know, just
lesbian?
She's just a gal. But she was at the...
she's following in your footsteps is what she's doing.
It's true.
She's
really
trying
is.
To play both sides of that tennis court, and somehow that net's going to stop her.
It is. Yeah. Well, she was at the Phoenix Open, which was really fun, and this random guy in the tent, in their like tent where they were, asked her on a date, or they exchanged numbers or something, and he texted her and said, hey, I'd love to take you out, and she is, now it's just, she's just so darling. She's like, I mean, I just can't commit to him, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure he just wants to have a glass of wine with you. Like, he's not talking children. He's not, like, trying to put a ring on it. Like, you guys
and you
just met.
We're at 48 hours. Settle down. Put the uterus back in your
she's
purse.
She's like, I can't. I just can't do it. I just can't go with him. And I'm like, She's like, I just can't commit. And I'm like, oh,
you're not.
Boy. I know. So that's what we were talking about.
And again,
about.
Your sister's how old?
23.
23. Wow. And she's worried about commitment. I mean, it's not like she's a Catholic, for God's sakes. Oh,
I know.
Wait, is she?
No.
Methodist?
Yeah, yes, Methodist. But very Jack, because really one of the reasons
Jack
that she,
Methodist.
She doesn't. Yeah. So anyway, we were chatting. I feel like I've had a pretty uneventful week and weekend.
And that's okay. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
Like, my weekend was a birthday party and then the Super Bowl, which I didn't, which just can't really be the Super Bowl when you're with like 18 children, you know?
Yeah. And,
so
I'm playing that.
That's what Woody Allen says.
Yeah.
Ding.
Find your bell somewhere.
Well played. I like it.
So, but it was it's very, very busy time for me. I'm working on the Fresh Brunch, which is happening at 1 in 10's annual fundraiser, which is on the 16th.
I actually ran into Cato. Caitlin. Am I saying it right?
No, Cato Kalin was definitely in
that
the OJ trial.
That was
in
the OJ trial. Yeah. That was another Bronco.
Totally different.
The last long guess, run.
Cato Stewart.
Yes.
Cato Stewart. I ran into Cato Stewart. Wow. Weird how 1986 or 96 1996 just
came up
flashed
and
into my head.
You in the ass.
Wow. Well, the reason I can't... I'll tell you why in a minute. We haven't had a bad Bronco chase like that since 1996,
exactly.
This past weekend.
Exactly.
Wow.
I love it. Yeah.
That went cattywampus. Yeah.
All early.
Arm kick. Yeah.
So,
that's the dance for cattywampus.
So I ran into her and she asked if I was going to the Fresh Brunch. And I didn't realize it's the same weekend. It's next weekend for rodeo. But I think I can pull it off. What time is the brunch?
It starts at, doors are at 10:30. And so it's 10:30, which is a silent auction, and I believe that the brunch actually begins at noon. So the brunch, the actual eating portion and the program is noon to 2.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't do that.
It's late.
Sucks. I really wish that I could have, because I wanted to be, because I'm always around the thing. I just mowed the yard for them again on Sunday.
Yeah, that's great.
And I mean, my mom and I've donated a ton of stuff to them. But I'm glad to hear that everything that I've donated has been taken.
Oh my gosh.
And used and
such good use.
It was really nice. One day I was there and I actually saw one of my old Elvis T-shirts on a kid. And it just made me feel good to know.
Yeah.
Good. It's going to somebody because it's been hanging in my goddamn closet for 15 years. So somebody might as well.
It really is like probably the best place to donate. Kelly really likes to be able to donate to them and support them as well because it's for the kiddos. So
nice. That's very cool.
That brunch is happening and then it's rodeo weekend, which I'm not I'm not affiliated with any of the planning of that. I know you are. And then that night is her HRC. So we have a women's HRC event. I'll have to send you the information.
Really?
But it's just a busy... It's busy
it's
coming
sweeps.
Up the next couple
it's sweeps.
Of
weeks.
It's fucking sweeps.
Just going to say, it's sweeps week. Sweeps month.
Sweeps month.
Sweeps month.
Oh, and don't forget this month, for those of you people who are in some sort of a relationship, there's that Singles Awareness Day.
Yes, that's right.
On the 14th, which obviously it also kicks off Rodeo Weekend, the 14th.
Yeah. And it's Black History Month.
I better get something.
Yes, it is.
You better get something.
This is a busy month. You better get some.
I forgot.
You better get some.
I do.
No, I'm... Okay.
Carry the wine.
Right.
Woo! What?
We're off and running for that.
Just saying.
There's that. Does almost any Porter...
It's Palmer.
Palmer.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's been over a year, but it's Palmer.
Okay.
Potomac.
But I knew it was a P word. Hey.
Later it'll be that I forgot. That's how the story will get retold after 2 tellings.
Oh, you'll forget something. Last week he got your name right for some reason.
He surprised himself.
Because you quit listening early on.
Yeah.
He got your name right for the rest of the show. I don't know what the hell happened.
Damn.
I think he's nervous around you.
He just has
a block.
I know.
But anyway,
yeah.
Porter, Palmer, kid.
That's the one.
Does she have any idea about this Valentine's Day or do they do that in school anymore?
You know, I don't know. Well, so at all the little programs we go to, she's not. But
isn't she like in a daycare thing?
Like in a play date, they might bring a Valentine.
But everybody,
I'm
takes,
not trying to
like,
get the kid older. I'm just trying to
throughout that week.
Pretend
it is
care.
True that mothers they pass the Valentines out. I don't think she knows, but we also do. Like a friend of mine that's a really overachieving mom from college. And it just, you know, that she fucking Facebooks all that shit and it makes me feel inadequate. So now I have to do it in my own head. She does like Cupid shows up before, you know, this. And then like the leprechaun comes at St. Patrick's Day and she always does a whole thing. So now I have to on Valentine's Day just to like prove to myself that I don't suck. I have to do like a whole spread.
Okay.
A spread. So when Palmer wakes up in the morning,
sometimes you just need an H.
there's like hearts all over, and there's like candy, and she has like a nightgown. There's like a whole fucking thing because now.
And they got 18 years of that bullshit.
So, yeah, I was just gonna say
because some dumb broad from college is doing it, and why do I have to keep up with her?
Fuck that.
I bet that it's just kind of like superimposed from Pinterest or something.
It,
like,
yes,
that's all it is.
It sucks, but
she's
yeah.
Not creative
so
enough.
Yeah, we do. Hate her. So the Cupid
so,
has
yeah.
to come.
All of a sudden, she's gonna like do the kill shot.
So yeah, the Cupid comes. Boom.
Someday she's going to learn that she hates
Fuck
Cupid.
Fuck you and the arrow you wrote it on. I don't know why she's so bitter around Valentine's Day every year.
Yeah.
But yeah, so no, she doesn't know what it is yet, but again, I do. So again,
well played.
The
well
irony
played.
In the world is that people come to Al and I for relationship advice. We've been single since you've been alive. So pretty much, that, good God, we're not the people to ask.
It's not that bleak.
Well, it's, how long, Al? Come on. It's a double-digit number.
The year of our Lord, 2014.
You're above a decade, as am I.
No, I think we're celebrating a decade as of...
Celebrating the decade.
Any minute.
Are we celebrating that?
I think it's 10 years this March.
Wow.
Yeah. All good right. times.
Good to know there's that.
Happy Valentine's Day.
And the arrow you wrote it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Marnie, you bring to the table somebody who went to a concert last Tuesday night.
I sure
saw a legend sure in the flesh.
Though amazing.
She, though she's tiny. A Dolly Parton concert you
yes,
saw.
Yes, Dolly Parton. Yeah. Amazing, except for where our seats were. Well, where we were told our seats were. And then I looked out, I'm like, these aren't our seats. And they... It became kind of an argument.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I'm like, and other people, they had seated other people in our seats. So it wasn't until we kind of went through, we're on the end, because I have to be on the end at a concert. I can't handle
it's
it.
It's like a must. Must.
Doesn't matter. I just it's a phobia. Have to. And so they put us on the end. But I'm like, why would I have fucking bought these tickets for my mom for Christmas and spent this kind of money to be sitting with an obstructed view and no sound? Like the sound was coming straight out from the stage.
Nothing
but
to the sides.
But it muffled otherwise, and you're like, what the hell? So I went, and there were a lot of people complaining, actually, about the sound sitting in different areas. And I thought, oh, okay, it's not just me. And then it wasn't until the end that I went up to this guy, and I said, listen, I'm going to be really honest with you. It got better, and she's charming. I mean, just... Seriously, totes adorbs.
Yeah,
she is.
But little tiny totes adorbs as well. But all of a sudden, the gentleman who's in charge of all the sound and the guy you're supposed to go to comment and chat with,
right.
He looks up and he says, well, let me see your ticket. That doesn't make any sense that you wouldn't have. Because I said, why wouldn't I have paid that, you know, for an obstructed view? I would have paid less.
Sure.
And he said, let me see your tickets. And I gave them to him. We were supposed to be on the inside. Where, like, we would have been right here.
Dead center.
Yeah. Like, on the end. And I said, I tried to tell, like, 3 or 4 different people that. And they, and I said, and I'm looking at the ticket and the number.
Yeah, because if only it came with some kind of guide.
It had all of that. But the problem was, is that it was, then you're going to what? Go down that aisle and cause some kind of fucking ruckus?
Yes.
Well, if they had ushers that knew what they were doing, you wouldn't have had to. Everybody would have been aware.
They were like, you know, no, those are where your seats are, and almost kind of like...
Well, don't they have... They bus in Sun City retirees to do the ushering in these places.
Yeah, there were quite a few folks quite a bit older.
So, yeah. They all got canned when the sundial was closed. And so, the sun dome. So now they're...
Wow.
The
sun dome. I forgot about the sun dome. Yeah.
I could say they are the sundial.
I did at first. Yes, there is one. I think there's one out there in Sun City somewhere.
Right.
It exists.
I can't remember what I saw at the Sun Dome, but it wasn't worth the drive.
Oh, I graduated from college there. That's where they had our commencement from yesterday.
Not worth the drive.
I don't even know where the Sun Dome was.
Far.
You take Grand Avenue
go to California.
You forget that there's a God in heaven, and then you keep driving.
Do you remember where we went to see that George Michael movie?
Yes, I do.
Further.
Wow. No shit.
It's way the fuck out there.
Wow.
Way past that, actually.
Not anymore. Well, perhaps it's still there.
I don't know if it's still there. I was always going to say, was there a development that just sort of took it over, took that area over?
Other regular clients died.
Everybody going to see Tony Bennett in concert is
due to a lack of interest.
Yes, they canceled the Sun Dome.
So it was disappointing.
Holy
and like
shit.
I said, I was trying to say, hey, we need to change these seats, but...
So you
well, and we sat through the rest of it, and it was you know, mom was like, "It's okay that you know she's trying to make it better," and I'm like, "I'm gonna kill somebody."
You know what? Too many things that are involved in your life involve there being a problem. Now I'm gonna go back to your birthday dinner.
No,
that was a shit show.
Yeah,
at that, not your fault. And then you get involved, you go to a concert, and all good attempt, all good, everything, good right. intentions of having, you buy good seats, you plan ahead, you do everything, just like happened to your birthday, and then that happens. There's gotta be
a common denominator.
You need a cleansing. There needs to be some sort
can
of
somebody
a,
get some sage?
A spiritual cleansing. Yeah. That's what we need to do. We'd also like to say hi to Chile and Colombia, two countries that are, we are all over the world tonight, people listening to us.
International. So did she do the thing where she sings a song backwards, she sings it forwards, she sings it backwards?
Yes, it was very cute.
Explain.
Yeah, that sounds hard.
She does this thing where she sings it backwards. I've seen her in concert, and she is just, she's a wonderful entertainer.
Charming.
Just hits you with everything, and she can play like 6 or 7 different instruments.
We were at like 9. I feel like I was at like 9, from the harmonica to the all kinds
the
of things.
The banjo and all kinds of things.
A didgeridoo, maybe?
Huh?
A didgeridoo. Shout out for our friend over in the New Zealand area.
Oh, well played, because I'm like, isn't that the something thing that's kind of a...
Right, Tomo? You know about that.
I'm hearing her talk backwards now.
I think that's
true. So she sings a song, and then it's such a catchy little tune. I can't remember what song it is.
It's from Tennessee, the college, which now I'm an ass. I don't know.
Okay.
But it's some...
Yeah, and then she sings it backwards, whatever. And then she has this funny joke, because my mom always said, if something's good, do it to death. Do it till they're sick of it. So she does the whole thing one more time, and the band does it even faster. And,
oh, that's very cool. Fun.
I mean, so in addition to...
I need to Google that.
When I saw her, she was... Like in the first third of her career, as it turns out, we all assumed it was halfway, but it turns out she had a lot more to give.
Sure. And so, she still does. I mean, she really was something.
How old is she?
She really was something. 68.
Damn, Gina.
She was born in 46.
Yeah, okay, and then 68. And then just to show up, they start like jamming. It's kind of crazy.
It really was. And she just, for as annoyed as I was with the sound, because unless other people, like, you kind of pick up on what it was. But it was a wonderful night, and mom and I had a great time. But all of a sudden, she would giggle, and that little giggle of hers, and I was like, it's okay.
Oh, your mom, not Dolly.
No, Dolly. Okay.
Oh, Dolly would giggle.
Yeah, mom was having a fantastic time, and that's really all I cared about.
Sure.
Except I really wanted our seats. But Dolly would just giggle, and what was bothering me was that she was telling stories.
Oh,
and it was hard to hear.
Yeah, it wasn't really about the songs. It was that she, like, I put on Facebook a thing to Buddy. I wanted to go and just sit at her feet and, like,
tell me another
story.
Yeah, tell me some more story, because you've been around forever.
It's such an important part of the show.
It really is. So we were, I felt like I ran into to someone down there, and I said, you know, I'm here with mom, whatever, and what the sound, it not so good. And he said, well, what, you know, what's going on? I said, you know, I feel like I'm at a county fair, and like I'm, or a state fair even, but that I'm under the bleachers, you know, in the back, and I can't hear anything. And he goes, with your mom. And I'm like, okay, we're done.
Yeah. I thought the same thing. I'm like, we're done. Shut that metaphor down.
I know, and
shut
I
it down.
I couldn't stop it. It was a bad train wreck.
It's interesting to think that how much time has passed. She was 36 when she did Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Wow.
To think that's half of her life ago.
No.
That's crazy to think that.
The only song she did not do that disappointed me was Two Doors Down.
Three Doors Down.
No, it's Two Doors Down.
Two Doors Down.
They're laughing and drinking and having a party.
That one I was kind of sad about.
But she has so many like hits, right? It's hard probably.
Oh, yeah, you can't say everything, right? You can't.
No, and she played some of her new stuff, which was, from what I could hear, lovely.
Did she do Stairway to Heaven by any chance?
Nope.
It's on... It's one of my. I think it's from Halos and Horns. She does Stairway
to
Heaven.
She does it. Yeah, it's a good rendition.
Oh, and it fucking works.
Doesn't.
Just when you think, oh, this is going to be, you're like, oh, I'm in. I'm back.
She did, and I'm going to have. I'll have to try to look it up because I know that I'll fuck this up. But she did a couple of songs by some newer artists, like from the '90s, early 2000s, and I'm listening. I'm like, why do I know that? Oh,
did she do any of Etheridge's stuff by any odd chance?
No, but that was
one of
the
crossroads that they did. That was so much fun.
It was a good one.
Yeah,
I still love it. Is that still on?
They're still on. In fact, I just saw what's her name just was on Coven. Stevie Nicks was on with another, and I couldn't tell who the group was, and they never,
was it
Lady Antebellum?
Was it guys or girl?
It was one girl, yeah. And then there were a couple guys, but they never
Sugar
said.
Land?
I don't know. They were doing one of her songs, I couldn't tell what the other song would have been because it would have been theirs.
Right.
But I guess that show is still on. Because I used to really enjoy that show.
Oh, the Pat Benatar McBride
was
the
good.
Best
that
one.
That was really great.
I still have it recorded. I have a Los Lobos with Ronnie Millsap. And it was
I didn't see that.
Wow, I didn't expect that one to be because I like both of them. Mm-hmm. But again, hearing them crossover songs.
Yeah,
I mean, when Dolly did "Somebody Bring Me Some Water,"
I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, that was a great deal.
And hearing Etheridge and
Jolene when she did Jolene.
And
as a shout out, I had Woody with me.
Okay.
And when Jolene came on, I just Suzanne Targey.
Yeah,
right. When
assuming you mean the ashes. And-
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Very
and,
nice.
But it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. So.
Very good.
Yeah.
Nicely.
So that was
and
very,
just to pitch you
fun.
Off, Mark Martinez and I were at lunch drinking, and he was kind of like lamenting that he wasn't going, and some friends were, and he didn't want to go by himself, so he found someone to go, and they got like front row
at
tickets
Dolly.
At the last second.
I thought I saw him there.
For like less money than anybody else paid for crap.
Funny. Well, good. Good for him. Yeah. That's very cool. I thought I saw him there, and I'm like, no.
If it,
I don't think so.
I wish I wouldn't have forgotten, but it wouldn't have been on a Tuesday. I really would have enjoyed to go to see her, and my mom would have as well, but it just didn't work out.
Well, and I never brought it up in here and then forgot about it the minute that I left.
I totally forgot.
Because I didn't know if it was a surprise for your mom.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha.
And so I thought...
But usually things like that I don't surprise her with because I try to make sure she takes off the next day for work because, if she's out, she doesn't like to be out that late at night or up that late if she has to go to work. So
yeah,
I try to make sure.
She gets up at like the 4 o'clock ass crack of dawn or five something.
I'm going to bed. She's getting up. Something like that.
Yeah,
that's about it.
But that's so I had never brought it up, and all of a sudden we leave that Tuesday before, and I'm sitting there. The week kind of goes on. I went, oh son of a bitch, we're all going to Dolly Parton, and
nobody said anything. Right.
Nobody said anything. We didn't say hey, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Nothing.
Yeah.
And so I text him, and he said, well, I didn't get tickets, and I'm like, oh. Well, I did.
And I'm going.
And then because again, I didn't know if it was something that your mom, so I was going to have mom and Di go. And then, I thought, well, I really wanted to share that with mom. So,
I'm glad you did.
Yeah, it was really fun.
So it was nice.
Yes.
It was nice.
Now, Alfred, you have been working.
Just work.
Working day and night.
Got up and came here.
You didn't work today. You were with me last night at karaoke.
This is my only full day off today.
Like trying to sell it to the crowd that he worked all night and today.
Oh, poor me.
It's not even worth trying to change schedules, so I just stayed up last night till 6 and went to bed at what would be just a little bit early for me. But
that's so hard. I know I've said that before. Like the changing of schedules that you have to do, just the craziness.
And I had stuff I needed to do, but I'm like, fuck it, next week. It ain't happening today. And it's very, very dry. I need to turn my humidifier on. This cold dry is killing me.
It's so dry. Coming from D.C. where it was dry, 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 then I got here and the cold is miserable. My skin's bad. Palmer, we have the humidifiers in every room.
D.C. was dry?
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. That's
horribly.
Really?
My skin was like...
A big, giant river right on them.
No, itching.
Yeah, right through the city.
Yeah. No, it was so cold and so dry. Mm. Like, everything was just like...
This is all frozen,
it was really bad.
So this is... Yeah, that's the only thing. Just kind of a... Take one full day off, and I just
worky pants.
Spent in bed. Tried to watch something from 31 Days of Oscar, and it was like, well,
this one,
35 seconds of this Oscar nominated movie, and I was asleep.
So this one and I leave on our bikes from Stacy's last night. He decides he's gonna head south and go get food. So I'm like, all right, see you later. So I get maybe 100 yards up north. I'm going north on 7th, and all of a sudden I hear my name from the very back. Clayton! And I'm like, and I think he needs help or something. So I turn around. I see the light coming at me. He finally gets close. Too damn cold. I'm going home.
Yeah. Because I didn't know it was that cold when I got when I went to go out. I just threw a hoodie over a t-shirt.
No.
I went to the bar and I was like, I was like, I'm already a little bit late thinking it was a friend I haven't seen in a long time. I don't want to be that late. She's usually quite prompt. Well, she's learned.
He was not meeting me.
No, right.
No.
But she's also learned that, when it comes to official stuff, I'm on time. But for everything else,
meet at the bar.
15 minutes. Yeah. So I was like, I don't want to go home and change and leave her sitting there by herself. And then I get there and I was the first one there. And I'm like, I could have changed into something warmer.
Because it was like
so then I was
cold,
really
cold.
Hungry. And I'm like, I'll go down and get, go to the Arabertos and get a little Mexican something. I'm not even 5 feet. And I'm like, oh my dear Jesus, no. There's nothing like this kind of cold.
You'll scavenge your fridge at home.
I was even surprised because I left here, and I mean, my jaunt is shorter than his, and I was like, wow, it is chillier than I had expected it to be. But then today was glorious, a beautiful, beautiful day.
See, I was saying I was cold even. I took Palmer out running. I went for a run this morning, and I was, it was 11 o'clock, and I was cold. Like, I went down Central, and it's, you know, there are little bursts of sun, but it's covered with all the trees on the bridle path. And with the wind and the shade.
How far do you run?
To the driveway and back.
Give or take a driveway.
Front door.
I go park at Bethany, the big Baptidome, the big Bethany Baptist.
Baptidome.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, right there, the big Bethany Baptist Church.
At Central and Bethany.
Yep. And then I run, actually today I did 4 miles.
Wow.
So I go 2 miles down, 2 miles back.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Very good.
And so, I haven't been, I'm not a super huge runner. And so I do, I run, walk. But yesterday I had like a really shitty day. Just like I had a bad day. And I haven't been running in a while. And it's just one of those things that it just, I'm not very good at it. I don't love to do it. But it just makes you feel good. Like you can't help but feel fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And I went to the gym yesterday and I was like running on a treadmill for over 30 minutes. And I just had like good music on my headphones. And I kept picturing there's this MMA fighter, this female MMA fighter named Misha Tate. And if you ever have a chance to look her up, she's the fucking bomb. And I watched one of her fights recently. And so I just kept picturing her like in my head. And she's like a badass,
So
fighter.
You want to be a badass now. That's,
yeah.
That's the new
and
diet
I was
this
running,
week?
So yes, that's the diet.
That's
I
a
was
healthy
like,
goal.
I ran my heart out yesterday and today because I
very
was,
good.
Everyone look up Misha Tate. She's the bomb.
And you're an inspiration to all of us,
Katie. She really is my inspiration.
Speaking of your wacky diets, I'm going to throw a little something that happened to me this week in
Boom,
here.
Boom, let's do it.
Well, you know, I live here. And you guys bring stuff and leave things in the fridge. And sometimes, you know, I'm like, oh, what the fuck is this? Where did this come from? Yeah. And there's one thing that you had left for a few weeks. And I figured, well, she's forgot about it. And I've actually started making a lot of smoothies and doing stuff, and I'm trying to, you know, pine down because we got to. Anyway, the point was, I was going around the house cleaning things, and I had made a nice sandwich, and I'm like, oh, what am I going to drink? And I saw that, and there was something in the fridge.
Oh, no.
And it was a
Gingerade
something. And I thought to myself, well, I do enjoy the ginger ale, and I enjoy fresh ginger when I, you know, ginger root when I eat sushi and things. I'm like, well, this will be fantastic. God damn it, Katie.
Oh,
what in the hell was that? Was the most horrible
Oh, I think it's
thing.
So good.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's kombucha.
Yeah, kombucha. So then I Googled that and found out that it's some horrible... Apparently, it's the promise of a new day beverage that a lot of people believe that it does and cures all kinds of stuff and blah blah blah. Well, it was god awful.
Yeah, it's
so
like
I owe you whatever $3 or $4 bucks for that bottle.
No, you don't,
because I threw it out.
But it is kombucha tea. It's a raw like plant substance. But what's God, and I'm trying to think of what it's called. There's culture in it.
Yes.
There's like living
live
culture.
Yes.
And so
they call it some sort of a mushroom thing.
Yeah. So one
mushroom tea or something like that.
And so one time I was drinking it though, and I like took a drink and mushrooms. I got like a big long strand of live culture like in my mouth. And that was
and now headlines.
But if you no. But if you can avoid actually drinking the culture, the tea is actually really great.
It's not.
It happens to suppress appetite a little bit, and it gives you a little energy. And it's supposed to be very. It's all natural, all raw.
I had enough energy to walk from my desk. I had enough energy to walk from my desk to the trash can with that shit. Is really what I had. It was horrid.
I'm sorry, you don't like it.
And then I was like, I can't believe you drink this. I was kind of appalled. But the good thing is I got it out of my fridge. So I was Cleaning out the fridge. 729, it's Q Talk America. It's the show, and it's time for headlines. Here we go with some stories that mostly are real. I actually think mine are all real. And I don't know if Marnie and I are gonna step on each other's toes or not, but we'll find out. Here we go. A news anchor destroys Christianity-believing Coca-Cola ad haters.
Something stinks and it's not your vagina.
Chili Peppers fake it at the Super Bowl.
Have a Coke and a smile, you dirty racist.
Bill Nye defends evolution in a debate.
The gassy soprano.
Cops investigating screams find a happy pig.
Let me tell you about a cat exhibiting unnatural sexual behavior.
And a woman traps a carjacker in her garage.
Is that a metaphor?
Nope.
Okay.
Actually happened.
In my garage.
In my garage.
Oh, no.
Yes. So, well, I have this, and this is kind of going along with, I think, what you, one of the headlines that you said. Brenda Woods, who is a news anchor at WXIA in Atlanta, she had a commentary at the end of the news segment on Monday night. This was after the Coca-Cola ads during the Super Bowl aired, because the uproar that came, you know, like you've said 100 times, Al, no matter what, you could post a picture of a kitten on a pillow and 5 comments down, everybody hates everybody, and God hates...
Fuck Obama.
So moments after the Coca-Cola ad aired with the America the Beautiful song sung in multi languages, well, the haters, of course, all came out in protest of that because, well, by God, we can't have... just can't have anything nice. So this is almost a 2 minute segment, but I believe it's worth listening to, and it's also on our Facebook page if you'd like to see it as well. We will comment after this.
Well, first of all, this is Coca-Cola's brand, always has been. Remember the 1971 ad, I'd like to teach the world to sing, with people from all around the world holding hands? At least some of us of a certain age do. Coca-Cola has always been about inclusion, and they clearly know how to get people talking about their brand. But the fact that people are outraged over this ad is outrageous itself. People indignant that others would have the audacity to sing America the Beautiful in a language other than English when America was built on opening its arms to the world. The quote on the Statue of Liberty doesn't say, "Give me your English-speaking only Christian-believing heterosexual masses." It says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, tempest-tossed." Have we forgotten that every one of us Americans, except for Native Americans, are descendants of foreigners? That the English language is from England? What makes America different from everywhere else is that we are a melting pot. We are not homogenous. It is our diversity that built this country. How dare they be indignation over the very thing that makes us great? And why not honor the beauty of that in song? What's so sacrosanct about this song that it can't be sung in other languages, by other ethnicities, by those of diverse religions and diverse lifestyles? A relevant question, considering the words of America the Beautiful were penned by a gay woman, Catherine Lee Bates, in 1895, an English professor at Wellesley, who also wrote lovingly of her longtime committed relationship with another woman. America the Beautiful, by any other language, is still America the Beautiful.
I thought that was very well put by her.
That was very
so good.
And it is. I wouldn't say it's gone viral. Maybe it has, but it's been all over Facebook. People reposting that, and it is on our Facebook page. If you'd like to watch it again with her, she actually shows part of the video from the commercial before she gives her rant. But I think that's exactly right. I mean, shut up about it. Of course, then you add to it. My favorite thing is people were all pissed off and up in arms about the fact that you don't sing the national anthem in different languages. That was not the national anthem.
Fuck it, thank
dumbass.
You.
It was America the Beautiful. Totally different.
And it's a beautiful story. If you ever read the story about how she wrote it, I think she was on a train ride across country, and it was everything that she was seeing. She was traveling west, and it was everything she saw out the window. And it really is a poem set to music.
I didn't realize that.
It's not a song. It's just a poem that she wrote, and I think it has 5 or 6 different stanzas. And then... someone eventually put it to music. Like
I want to say
years after her death. I don't think she ever heard it sung.
I didn't realize that. I didn't realize. Go ahead, Marnie.
Well, I just firmly believe that when you have done something wrong or per se inexcusable, that you should stand up and say, you know, I kind of fucked that one up for about, I don't know, maybe a good 15 minutes because I wasn't paying attention. I was working and we were listening and watching the Super Bowl, more listening. And that came on and Jason and I both, and I'm not trying to sell him down the river, but Jason and I both were like, I went, hell no. Because what I heard as a dumbass was the Star Spangled Banner in my head because I wasn't paying attention.
Got it.
And many people have moved to make that the national anthem because it's easier to sing.
I can believe that.
No, they honestly
I can believe that, yeah.
It's been a movement for a long, long time. God bless America, beautiful.
It's a beautiful song. But the main idea was that they're and I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying there are a couple of things that have happened in roughly the last 15 years that different times where I've been in places where they're doing English proficiency exams that they're offering in Spanish. What? I don't get that because it makes no sense.
Oh, that is funny.
I know, right? English proficiency exam. The Pledge of Allegiance in Spanish when you become an American citizen. Now, after that, again, and Aaron and I agree to disagree on that, and I'm fine with that. It's just an opinion, and I'll listen to anything otherwise. But that's what I heard, and was the Star Spangled Banner. And mm-hmm. I sat there, and I just went, I'm like, oh, hell no. And I didn't make a big deal. I was just like, nah, no. I'm not okay with. I looked up, beautiful commercial, it's lovely. And then I went back to what I was doing, and Erin was beside herself. She's like, "What the heck? What? I'm with a racist." And all of a sudden, it wasn't until later she left a little bit after that. I don't think we were breaking up. She can let you know. But
breaking up is hard to do. Well, I've heard
not anymore. But she sent
one racist comment during the Super Bowl. Next thing you know,
it's done.
Valentine's Day, Single Awareness Day.
It's cheaper. But I all of a sudden was sitting there and I was kind of replaying the different commercials and we were talking, what are your favorite? And all of a sudden I heard the song
mm-hmm.
and went, oh.
Well, they both start out with oh yes.
Oh, beautiful.
Shit,
oh,
really,
say.
What happened with me? Oh, shit. And I, at that point, I went, yeah, I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with my reaction. And that's what it was. It was just this reaction. And
but you
and
didn't
I
run
thought,
to the internet and say Obama's
oh,
a Nazi.
No.
Like, yeah.
But, no, not at all. Not until later, but that was about yeah. something else.
Oh, of course.
But it really
that was about the kitten on the pillow.
I found
fucking
myself
kitten.
Like
who kept his provider?
That Obama. He's such a Nazi. Look at that cat.
Like I felt myself. I was totally embarrassed. And the only people that heard me say anything.
By the way, Erin had to come to do laundry. She says.
Oh.
But she's my. I love it.
Also
but
breaking
she's my.
Racist.
She's my racist, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, be proud, honey. But all of a sudden, I sat there and went, "Oh God, I'm real embarrassed."
Well, there's
yeah.
a lot
just
of stuff
Mom
I think
and
that
Jason and Aaron. But
at least you weren't at Zip Sports Grill next to a bunch of rednecks, and
God.
You got in the and then all of a sudden realized, oh, I'm
a
I'm
tea partier.
Right.
Yeah, like almost. Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. See, and I can appreciate like a gut reaction.
Sure.
I suppose.
Yeah. I still think it was
but
really
I,
ignorant of me. And I
but
was a dumbass,
even if it was, even if it was the Star Spangled Banner, I mean, I think that you can sing it in any language that you want. If you live in America, you're an American, but you speak
sure.
a different language. Like,
yeah.
you know, there are a lot of people who are
I can respect that.
Who are Americans, mm-hmm. born in America, who maybe whose parents speak a different language mm-hmm. or who grew up in a different. It's one of the things that makes me most crazy about. I don't know if that little thing is me. It's
no,
one
it's
of
not you. I kept thinking I was hearing something else. Go
it's
ahead.
One of the things that makes me most crazy when you know people argue that Obama's a Muslim, and yeah. I go, great, okay. So what if
so
he is
what?
A fucking Muslim? Yeah. Like yeah. Well, there are a lot of Muslim people living in America, mm-hmm. and perhaps they would like to see another Muslim at the helm of the country. Like, what's wrong with that? So I can understand like a gut having a kind of a gut reaction. But
the visceral reactions.
This,
I just have to stop reading. Now,
it like, just makes me feel. I just have to almost turn it off because
you,
of
it
the
almost
way
makes
it makes
you stop
me feel.
Believing America the yeah. Beautiful when that's the response to
oh, it really.
And I loved what she said about the not you she but she in the commentary about the Statue of Liberty.
Right,
you're
it doesn't
huddled,
say
your huddled masses yeah. yearning to breathe
not
free.
Your
I mean,
white.
Yeah, your white
huddled
English
masses
speaking.
Who may or may not be like middle to upper middle class.
Yeah, we sure. just want the cast of Downton Abbey.
Right. Yeah.
Everyone else need not apply.
And well, and I think but where my point comes because you're exactly right. You want to say the Pledge of Allegiance and
yes.
everything up. And Aaron and I spoke about that last night. It's fine, fine. But there is something about if I go. And again, we agreed to disagree.
Right.
But if I go to, I went to Mexico one time when I was like 19.
Right.
And ignorant and was with nobody that spoke Spanish. And I was very, well, you're going to speak English, you know, or I'm
right.
going to get along. You're going to help me do whatever. I could have been real dead, you know. I mean, lots of stuff could happen. Didn't even think about it. But that expectation is there, and I'm not going to move to Mexico, and all of a sudden, not that I can't speak English, but I'm not going to sing anthems.
Right. And then, but the other thing is,
in
Puerto Rico is also a part of our country, sure, which always throws everybody under the bus when you want an English only ballot, because Puerto Rico is the United States, mm-hmm, and their official language has remained Spanish.
Sure.
So we do have a second official language, sort of.
And if that were something that was presented and like out there, and I think it's a reaction because it hasn't been. And so again,
wouldn't it be lovely if people crossing the country? Because I mean, tourism is a big part of many parts of our country. But wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if the people that came here as tourists took the train ride across the country and also thought America the Beautiful? It's not pledging your allegiance to the country. It's just saying,
got a nice place.
Yeah.
Would you look at the view?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
really, the mountains are purple. Yeah. They're majestic.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it really has. It is a song about geography, because that's all she was looking at out the window.
And again,
although there is something about pilgrim's feet that I never really got, but
I put my hand in the air and admit to that ignorance, and all of a sudden I felt myself that I was a part of these people for that, even if it was just that amount of time, like, and went, oh,
to
God.
See the people that take to Twitter and, you know, hashtag English, hashtag fuck you if you don't speak it. Like, I don't get it. I understand that that is the language here, the universally accepted language in America.
The King's English?
Right. No, we do not speak the King's English.
Well, no, but I'm just saying.
And I certainly...
Just to be clear.
And I certainly expect that everywhere I go in this country, I'm going to speak English, and I expect that, you know, if you want to get around, you're going to figure it out as well. But I would... Like, small-minded is it of someone to say, fuck you, you don't speak this, get out. Like, I just don't... I mean, if you want to, like, get along and get things done, then you're going to figure it out. And even, you know, my lawn guy, Bernardo, who speaks this much English, his wife speaks it, and they get along, and they figure it out. And I would just, like, never say to him, you don't deserve to be able to sing this song or say the Pledge of Allegiance, or your kids who were born here don't deserve to say the Pledge of Allegiance because you don't speak English.
Yeah.
Touché.
Like, you know what I mean? And when I've been to France, they expect me to speak some French if I want to figure, I mean, major city, you know, in Paris, the major tourist things, great, they accept everything. But Kelly and I stayed in a small little town, and I got sick and had to go to the pharmacy, and I was fucked because there's no English happening there.
And that's not the French you pick up. You don't pick up, I'm shitting my brains out.
Right.
What do you got to cork that up? You know what I mean?
Baños.
But we have then all of a sudden you're doing horrible charades.
Yes, which you are, and you have to do it.
Shitty charades.
I don't expect...
Oh, you want wine? You need a cork for your ass?
I don't expect that they're going to...
accommodate
me. I have to like figure it out. I don't know.
And I think that's truly my only point.
Right.
Like, just that, you know, if there is a whatever the language is, wherever I'm going to go. And I told her, I said, I haven't traveled much. I've gone to Mexico.
And then you land somewhere where they speak five different languages and you're completely screwed. Because then you find out
you're like,
I always think that, like, because there are Native Americans that live here on reservations that don't speak English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been trying this whole conversation to remember the tribe. But you live, I mean, they're, you're here, it's all around you. How have you not picked up anything?
Mm-hmm.
But I, and it's just,
well,
but
that's
again,
a, because
they're isolated,
that's a
all
choice,
the rest.
Yeah.
That's where they are.
But it is really amazing that, you know, when you are in, especially in the EU, they're speaking many, many, many languages. And English is one of them, which is really ultimately
and you get
like
on a train
a
there
lot
and they list,
of people.
I mean, you have to wait for the announcements to come out in like 18 different languages.
And it's so bizarre to me that in America, we don't teach other languages. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, it's not,
Oh no, and then Sarah, but you're instantly a Muslim and you're a traitor and a communist because you speak another language.
I mean,
like, there's absolutely no rejoicing of other tongues.
Largely spoken language in the world, I believe, is Chinese.
I rejoice with other tongues. I didn't know how you meant that. How did you mean that, Al?
Well, I mentioned a lot more after a second.
In the biblical sense.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Right, because right now, like, pilots have to speak English. Like, airline pilots have to speak English just because we dominated the aviation industry. So you can't be a pilot and not speak English.
Right.
Because the towers had to pick one language to speak. You can't have someone wander into your airspace and not understand the tower. Mm-hmm. So English is what's spoken, but that may change at some point. If
it's it's Mandarin, and Spanish, and I just don't understand
which is a great absolute flavor.
We don't have more of a emphasis, an emphasis, if you will,
emphasis on a syllable. Here,
on speaking other languages. I don't know, it just makes it crazy. But one thing that I think is an interesting piece of history is that the woman I just learned about this, so it kind of made me excited that they were talking about it. That the woman Catherine Lee Bates, who wrote America the Beautiful, we heard a little bit, was with a woman named Catherine Coleman, and they actually lived in Wellesley, Massachusetts.
And they were known as Massachusetts Married.
The Boston marriages.
Boston marriages, right.
Which I recently learned about, referred to two single women living together independent of men. And, you know, they show photos of women engaged in Boston marriages, and this is one of them.
Okay.
And they were not... they didn't classify them at the time as like same sex relationships, but that's very clearly women that are in love with. I mean, they're being affectionate in more of like in a.
No, I would be also
they're having a fried green tomatoes moment.
Yes, sure.
I would like to be able to go back in time and find out if. I mean, obviously, she wrote a song, a poem, and then all these other things. So it was documented. Now, back then in the late 1800s, was she classified as crazy? Was there something wrong with her?
No.
Was it just accepted? Everybody shut the fuck up.
If she would have traveled outside of Boston in that situation, yes, eventually someone would have gotten to her.
Oh, okay.
But as long as you stay in that circle where everyone knows you, it was the same thing in like Greenwich Village and stuff like that. Places where it was accepted.
There was a different
known
term for it in Greenwich Village, but...
Well, Sappho and all those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's all those different terms, and you could be accepted in certain places. You just don't leave this region and expect...
The same treatment.
Yeah.
But it's amazing that the Boston marriages were very... It was just a completely normal thing.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
We're getting back to that slowly.
And the fact that one of these... would have been a headline to have a Coke and a smile, you dirty racist.
Oh, especially with teaching the world to sing and passing that bottle all around all the different races.
Yeah,
and
how
different
did we get to this point? That's what I don't understand.
The thing that I
Ronald
found...
Reagan. Honest to God.
Where did that come from?
Because he brought the moral majority in, and they turned into family values and strict white people and everyone else. You know what I mean? All the scary Willie Brown that got released from prison, and they released the images of him being released. That's what Dukakis did. He released the scary person, and all those scary black people are evil commercials of Ronald Reagan. Like
fuck Ronald Reagan.
The what is it? The house with the hill. What's the something on the hill? He has the famous. Nothing. Well, it's a new day in America. You know those commercials. His was something about the up on the hill. His commercials were all white people. Like there was very much a.
Interesting.
That's so
the Western,
awful.
The what I found with that you dirty racist piece was that all of a sudden those thank God I can say fleeting thoughts that I had nothing to do with.
And then if you go back
thinking,
and watch it, it's
like,
lovely.
You know, absolutely. It was. I'm going to say it was lovely at the time. As far as how pretty it was, it just wasn't connecting. synapse here, but. All of a sudden, hours later, when I see the tweets that were out there, and one, and I will not go back to 2 weeks ago. Big time. That Coke commercial sucked. Mexicans, terrorists, Jews, and N-words are not American.
Oh, gosh.
And I saw that and I went, oh, sweet Jesus. I commented, you know, and all of a sudden I really did. Like, it felt like I needed a shower because I thought, what fuck? Am I in with those people? And I think it was a good thing because it kind of made me reevaluate in some weird way and in being able to take a look at it. So I feel un-American for drinking Coke today. I took an oath to defend this country. How is a song to our nation sang in different languages? And many of these were really ignorant the way they were written as well.
Oh, yeah.
They always are.
There were some charmers there.
Yep. Nice.
Don't
to
you just
see
feel it. Like they should learn, at least if they want to bitch about the English language, like spell it right?
Yeah, learn English first.
Have some grammar.
Yep.
Nice to see that Coke likes to sing an American song in the terrorists' language. Way to go, Coke. You can leave America.
Oh, yeah. We need no more of those.
I mean, but it's that kind of thing when all of a sudden that was going on.
In that's the terrorist language, because that's what that is now, the terrorist right. language.
And that's where the you dirty racist, those were the only ones that I had up there. And there was a Kansas pageant winner that had also put something
perfect.
Up.
Perfect. I hope she wins
and
more.
But all of a sudden, I'm not sure with going through if she did kind of kind of similar thing, except for she went out and put something on Twitter, and it was similar to, as you were referring to, how Alice said that people just go on and boom.
Yeah, no matter what you say. Can't say anything.
It's right there, and you can't take it back.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know? And
you just have to apologize the next morning on the news.
Right, right.
Got
absolutely.
It. All right. Well, we beat up this topic for a real good 20 minutes.
We can't talk about the Super Bowl because it sucked. So that's,
well, we'll get there eventually. No, there were some highlights. I got to see that Wilson kid several times. Marnie, go ahead, babe.
Well, that was, if you want to go to a different one, because okay. I'll just cross that one off.
Well, then we'll go to this one. For those of you who watch the Super Bowl, one of the highlights, aside from the fact of that safety in the very opening of the game where they started the game with 2 points and boom, mm-hmm. we were off and running. Aside from that, there were other highlights like the halftime show, according to me. a lot of people out there were like, they said it was, a lot of people were panning it all. Like the game sucked and mm-hmm. then there were no real wow commercials and then they said halftime sucked. I'm like, shut up.
People just want to be pissed.
They want to be pissed at everything. So weird. The Red Hot Chili Peppers are under fire this week for allegedly faking it at the Super Bowl halftime show. Photos reveal that band members Flea and Josh Klinghoffer didn't have their guitars plugged into any devices, not even wireless packs, when they took the stage alongside Bruno Mars. So when asked about it, Flea, the lead guitarist, asked about his air guitar accusations. He confirmed by tweeting, quote, "No trickery, no choice, but no trickery." Living Color guitarist Vernon Reed called out the unplugged performance on Twitter, writing the, I know we all mean well, but for God's sake, at least try to humor the children. Reed went on to explain that Super Bowl producers likely didn't want to leave anything to chance, which is, I'm sure they didn't, with that many wireless devices already in play, adding those to it. They risked, you know, some sort of a nightmare with it happening. Regardless, Reed felt that it was important to actually make it look as though you were trying and not flaw the illusion.
Yeah, but I do have to say this: the Super Bowl sucked, but the halftime show
he was spectacular. So great.
So totally was.
Yeah,
totally.
And
totally.
I think that was the tonic that the people, good people of Denver, needed at that point because things were not going their way.
And though they continued to not go their way,
They didn't. They really, no one showed up.
No.
Like, not one person on that team actually showed up to play the game. And then they showed the stats. Mm-hmm. How did Peyton Manning get that many yards and have that many completions? And I was like,
in any way,
and even
form.
One of the commentators, because I watched it on I watched it on tape. I taped it.
Okay.
So I watched it the next morning, and I was just laughing because all of a sudden the one guy put the stats up. He's like, does anybody know if that's
at the
right?
End of the game.
This was like. Like middle of the third quarter, and they put the stats up, and it was hysterical. The announcer goes, "Is that actually right? Can somebody check that? Because I don't feel like they've been on the field long enough to record those kind of yards."
Well, I
have no points.
When they did it in slow motion, right. When the ball was hiked, the first play,
the safety,
when he goes running up to say something, and then the ball was hiked, and he went. And like his eyes were almost kind
wasn't
of crossed,
that the first play?
Yeah, right
and
off.
If they could just freeze that was the game.
Yeah, yeah, you're done. And Mom and I were just laughing every time they would cut to Manning sitting there, just kind of looking, just like, what do we
all
do?
All of them, like,
it was Peyton so or Eli, because every
time
they
went would
to
shoot
Eli.
To him. Yeah. They never, and Mom kept saying it. I wouldn't have known this because I never watched previous, but apparently when either one of the Manning brothers were winning, they would always show the family, like
the parents.
Dad,
oh, yeah,
the
parents. Their parents
not
are really
one
involved.
Shot of the dad.
Yeah,
not
no,
one.
There wasn't. There wasn't. Not, I noticed that too. I
didn't
I only
even think
saw
he was
Eli.
In the audience. Yeah, I only saw Eli.
Oh, maybe it wasn't, but they kept showing Eli.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
None
he
of them.
Wouldn't be
none
there.
Of them.
Happened. Even taping it, I stopped. Like the beginning of the, I think when the score hit, what the final score was, I'm like, this is just horrible.
Yeah, but
football.
I couldn't. It was a train wreck, and I couldn't stop watching.
I lied. I did actually stay up and watch the whole thing because I remembered, like, the Broncos actually walked off the field. Like they had the ball and still said,
we're done.
We're gonna let that clock run out.
25 seconds. We're not even gonna do a Hail Mary and make this respectable. Like we're done. See you later.
Well, and I just kept because I remember we should turn it off. Why? This is fantastic. In the sense, everyone said, "Oh, I wanted a good game." Well, you kind of got one because the Seahawks played every single position like and played it really well. The special teams, one team was really good.
Someone,
it was amazing.
I think at some point, one of the announcers said, I mean, why don't the Broncos just go home? We'll put B team out there and scrimmage between themselves. The Seahawks can just scrimmage themselves.
Sure. And just play.
The outcome's still the same. Well, they're going to win.
They said about the punter. At one point, the one guy goes, well, I think the punter can pretty much go home because they're going to play every fourth down there is. And then the next thing, they suck so bad. Like, well, good thing the punter didn't take my advice because they didn't get anywhere near it.
Yeah, it was insane. I mean, it was, and it was
they're
fun
on the
5-yard
line.
it was fun to watch for me because it was just like all of a sudden you're like, they can't score another one. Yeah, they can.
Yeah, they can. Yeah, they can.
And the best thing as far as for me as a Vikings fan, there weren't any bad stats of the Vikings that they kept, because they always put up the stats of like
other teams,
shitty team. Yeah. And God,
well, this game compares to the 1975 Vikings game where yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. God yeah. damn it.
Uh-huh. But it really didn't compare to anything. I think that there was the biggest point deficit going into the third quarter I heard ever in Super Bowl history.
And Russell Wilson, I thought Mom said he was the youngest, but he was the third youngest quarterback ever in Super Bowl history.
I saw them put that up there.
He's the youngest, and Bruno Mars is the youngest halftime performer ever in. Okay.
Well, and I thought, you know, for a few years they've been going for a demographic on the halftime show that's just a little bit past death.
Yeah,
like when you bring up Aerosmith,
like, even Diana Ross that they did was the Super Bowl 30 when it was here in town. Mm-hmm. They're still stretching.
Yeah,
and they did her, and didn't they also have
every old person, Tom Petty.
Yeah, that's
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
God, he was here too.
Because like, that I mean, Diana Ross was staging a comeback. She was trying to be relevant and everything. But to me, the best one was Prince.
When he actually made it rain.
Like I'm not sure how he got in charge of God and made it actually rain while singing Purple Rain.
How long ago was that? I'm sure I can just Google Prince halftime.
10 or 11 years.
Yeah, now. It was.
For some reason, I don't remember seeing that.
It was 2002.
Oh, he does All Along the Watchtower,
the Carolina Panthers, and blah blah blah.
I just don't remember Eagles, his halftime because I kind of have been paying attention to halftimes for years.
Oh no, it was really good. Huh. He did All Along the Watchtower by Jimi Hendrix, and he did a song by the guy that used to be with, oh, I can't think of his name, and he was just on the Grammys. Kurt Cobain's group,
Nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
They, and then the drummer from them is now the drummer for.
I have no idea.
No.
Oh my God, they're huge.
Nickelback.
And respectable.
Mahatma Gandhi.
Dave Grohl, what's his band's name?
Oh, Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters. So, because the Foo Fighters had covered Darling Nikki and he liked it so much, he did, not only did he do his biggest hits, but then he did All Along the Watchtower and he did a Foo Fighters song and it was like just spectacular. And then the finale was Purple Rain and with everybody with purple wands in the air, it literally started to rain and you're like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Rain like, provided by the Goodyear blimp.
Yes. And that's what it looked like. Oh, I'm sorry, just spit everywhere. That's what it looked like. It was so
God
good.
Loves Prince.
Yeah.
Those were the bumper stickers that, you know, they took with.
And Prince was just, and you kept seeing the commercials during the thing. He was on, it's called the what, the New Girl?
New Girl.
And
it was funny.
Full afro. I haven't seen Prince like that
in forever. I thought he looked horrible. Yeah, he did look horrible.
But he was very funny.
He was.
Do you want a pancake?
Right.
Eat your pancake.
Eat it.
I didn't see it. Apparently you watched it.
I watched it. Because
I watch that show every week, so.
It made me laugh. I think that's the most he's ever spoken in his life.
Yeah. I do too.
Oh, yeah.
Even in Purple Rain. The movie, I don't think he said that many words as he did in that half an hour show.
So I was, I really did. I was charmed by him because, and New Girl has been in need of a reboot all year. Yeah. They
went, cute.
Yeah, and they,
well, even the previews that they were showing were the girl and the guy and Prince were sitting on the bench and she's kind of looking and he kind of looks and she looks and they catch eyes. I just thought it was kind of funny because it's like Prince is playing it to the fact that even he realizes he's Prince.
Yeah. Well, he says, like, he starts delivering a line. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't give you time to react to me being Prince. And he pauses and she's like, oh.
It was very funny.
There it is. All right, go on.
Yeah. It was 2007. And did we determine that year?
It was 2007. Was that recently? Wow.
Oh,
well, 7 years, but.
I thought it
time
was,
does fly was when you're having too. Fun at halftime, doesn't it, though? Oh, holy crap. First hour is in the bag. We got 2 more hours coming at you. More headlines. Al's going to have entertainment. Katie's going to have sports and other stuff. Who knows what shenanigans or tomfoolery we shall get into for the remaining 2 hours of the show. It's a Tuesday night. You're in Studio C with Marnie, Katie, Al, and me, I'm Clayton. Along for the ride, it's you and everybody in Israel, the U.S., New Zealand, Slovenia, and everybody else that's watching out there. Please join us in the chat room if you can. Let us know where you are, what you're doing. We'll be back in just moments right here on Q-Talk America. Stick with us.
You've been listening to The Show on Q-Talk America. This is Q-Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening once again. 8 o'clock straight up, coming to you live from Studio C in the heart of Central Phoenix. This is Q-Talk America and The Show. I'm Clayton McKee alongside of Katie June, Marnie Ryer, Al... I almost said Al Roker.
Yeah. There are a lot of things wrong with that, actually.
We could have gone to the weather with Al Roker.
Now you're going to sing the national anthem in Spanish or something.
Al Perkins rounds out our cast. And we'd like to say hi to Covert Op, which is Jason in the chat room, with Harrison Tomo from New Zealand, Matt Maratska from the NYC.
Tyler, I assume he's Dollywood.
Oh, that's right. Tyler's in there too. So many people, so many things going on. We are in the middle of our headline section, as we do, because we spent way too much time beating up about singing songs in different languages. But we'll go along. Marnie, you're up.
All righty. I have to find it.
Or I can go up.
Nope,
it doesn't matter.
I'm right here.
All right, go.
There's a gassy soprano. There's a gassy soprano out there. A farting opera singer sues her doctors.
Oh, my goodness.
All I had to see was that headline, and I was done. But it's not as funny, but I thought it was very interesting that this woman will never be able to sing opera again because every time she has incontinence and excessive flatulence and cannot work as a professional opera singer anymore after having a baby.
Oh, that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
She
can't bear down and hit the notes.
Well, as an outa,
she needs to do Kegels
a couple times.
Nope, it's not gonna help her.
Not the back
she
door.
Can't sing without passing gas at all. during childbirth, the doctors performed an episiotomy, which cuts some tissues to help let the baby
in the taint.
Okay.
Although the tear was eventually repaired, she complained she could feel gas coming out of her vagina and was also experiencing difficulty controlling bowel movements.
Uh-oh.
And apparently the tear never properly healed, and so even reconstructive surgery, they said, may never fix the problem. And I'm reading this, and I'm like, there are so many fucking things. Right? There are so many things.
Sing on a toilet.
Yeah, most people
said.
Sing in the shower.
With Febreze all over.
Most people sing in the shower. She's singing on the pot, but...
Do-re-mi.
Excuse me.
Was that me?
Sorry.
I just thought that was fantastic. So this poor gal... The Gassy Soprano.
The Gassy Soprano. Sounds like an episode name of the Soprano series.
Sure.
The Gassy Soprano, tonight on HBO.
Only because they're decomposing on the Sopranos.
Well,
that is out of Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, poor Gassy Soprano.
Yeah, poor Gassy Soprano. There's just no saying it ain't over until the Gassy Lady sings.
Apparently not. Well, let's stay in that region of the continental United States for this one. Okay. Petersburg, Kentucky. Well, evolution, the Bible, and the origin of the universe will be up for debate tonight as Bill Nye, the science guy, shares the stage with the founder of Kentucky's Creation Museum. Nye is in Kentucky with the man who created started that Creation Museum, named as Ken Ham. They did a debate. It was earlier this evening. It was streamed live. And then after they did the debate, apparently both of them were going on a show that's rarely ever watched on CNN called Piers Morgan Tonight. The event is attracting plenty of attention in the science and faith circles as Nye is a former TV star and Ham is prominent among Christians who believe the Bible. tells factual accounts of the Earth's beginnings. The Creation Museum says that the audience will be made up of visitors from 29 different states, and the debate will be streamed live online, which it already was. Ham invited Nye to the debate last year after Nye criticized the belief held by Ham and other creationists that the Earth is just a few thousand years old. Yeah.
And the Flintstones is really a documentary. Because they believe that dinosaurs and man existed together. Because they can't justify an extinct species that is proven that they found the skeletons
like
of.
Like pre-man.
So that's why they have to make it so dinosaurs and man have to live, at some point, live together.
Wait, why can't they justify an extinct?
Because it's only 5,000 years old and there's recorded history to like 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. They don't believe in carbon dating.
And so, but
so everybody finding these fossils that they book back to millions of years old,
right?
From the same
buried
planet
under a civilization, they thought, oh, they had dinosaurs as pets, like Dino from
was
the Flintstones is a pet. Yeah,
not ever, didn't ever happen.
Like, walk your T-Rex.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I hate
they didn't
them.
Use pterodactyls as,
yeah, because
as planes.
The La Brea tar pits just blows their mind. They don't know what to do with that.
I hate them so much.
Yeah. It's easy to do.
So I'm very
and
curious.
And then you can debate. You have this one book in your hand, and then every other thing
in
ever
the world.
Written
right.
ever
sure.
contradicts it, but you're just going to believe that.
Well,
yeah.
Well,
all the time, and that's what they say. This trumps everything. So it doesn't matter everything else that's been written
also,
in the whole entire world ever.
Thought the Earth was flat, so
I
we
just,
can prove that.
When I heard that and saw it, obviously, later on, I will go and seek out, and I will actually watch Piers Morgan, and I would like to see this debate that they did, because I just can't imagine the ignorance of people that can't get on board with this. There's no way... there's just no way. And then the fact that they hold, and I was going to bring up something else in regards to Kirk Cameron, but we'll do it another week. Mm. But anybody that holds this book of these fantastic stories that, I'm sorry, I just can't get on board with all of them. I think it was a book written by man, and I keep going back to
written
something
by man.
Right, that we've all said.
To explain things they didn't understand.
They didn't understand.
There was no
and
science yet.
The way to control people was by fear, mm-hmm. and that's where religion started. It's mm-hmm. all about, in my opinion, it's all based in the controlling of people with fear because they didn't understand stuff, so they wrote all these stories.
You know, everybody did. Like Apollo drives the sun across the sky, you know, that he drives his chariot and the wheel is the sun. And
I really just don't get it because I grew up just
Thor
kind of having like that
angry.
Blind faith in religion and never to an extent of like crazy town. But I always believed in God and all these other things. And it's really, really hard for me as an adult to still want to have that, like still want to believe in God, which I do believe in God, you know, in some capacity, but to still want to have that like religion in my life because it just is something that I always did as a child and I want to raise my family that way. But then actually like reading, you know, like having actual also truth and science.
Yeah.
So it's really hard for me to reconcile those two things. Like, the crazy town with actual life.
And then you get these people that are like, then the STEM, the not STEM.
Stem cell?
Yeah.
No, not stem cell. What's the school?
Yeah, it's the STEM, science, technology, mm-hmm. engineering, yeah. math.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, look at
that,
you.
There are
you just
going
to Google that.
But
Jesus.
There's
they
want
I knew that.
So you have all these people are like so about anti-science that when you get them in those education things, they're like, can we call it TEM? Like, can we just get rid of that science part? Because you're going to bring up something that we don't want to hear.
Yeah.
So then CNN, nobody would appear on Crossfire. So they were on, oh no, a different group of people. Cunty McCunterston and somebody else appeared on.
And crew.
Could you narrow that
Cunty
down?
Cunty McCunterston and crew.
It was Michelle Bachman. And they tried to make it go viral.
Why would anyone want?
All she was doing was being a rude bitch. Like, she had no valid point. She was just being rude. And I'd be surprised that Barry Sanders didn't just clock her. I do not advocate violence of any kind, especially against women. But in this case... It was time to
Tyler
either,
would totally disagree
it was time
with
for, yeah, it was time for duct tape. but they were doing an abortion thing on Crossfire, which I'm like, where are you going to get with this? Well, all of a sudden, Newt Gingrich and whoever the woman was that was doing the anti-choice part. They were saying it's just science. It's just science. So finally, the blonde lady that's on Crossfire now from the liberal side is like, oh, so now you're all science? Like, now it's science and you can't argue science? Like, you're not allowed to argue any science? And Newt Gingrich is like, are you saying, she's like, climate change, go.
And then, wait, and what was this on? I feel like I really need to find it.
It was on Crossfire about abortion. And it was just hysterical because Newt Gingrich and the woman just kept saying, you can't argue science. Like, it's a scientific fact. You can't argue with it. And she was just like, can't argue science, huh?
Sure.
So,
Here we go.
Here we go.
I love
it. But they had to keep it down to the topic at hand. They couldn't bring them to task for everything. But
God, I wish.
I didn't see The Daily Show this week, but I'm assuming that they had a field day with him saying over and over again, you can't argue with science.
Probably so. Good. Marn, is it up to you? Yes, it is.
It is. It is. There's a woman in Nigeria who has disowned her cat.
Because
he's gay.
I didn't realize it was in Nigeria.
Yeah. Oh,
go ahead,
awesome.
Tell that story.
It's
our animal corner on Q Talk America.
Animal corner.
She disowned her gay cat because he was, after 7 years, exhibiting homosexual tendencies.
Dancer, prancer.
Stop it.
All
meow.
His favorite reindeer were meow. Over.
And so this woman who wanted to keep her name withheld. She believes that he's gay, and she's this middle-aged woman who claimed that he was exhibiting unnatural sexual behavior, and she was greatly concerned because it's a contradiction of the laws of nature. It really is, you know. And apparently the cat's name was Bull.
Bull Dyke? That was his middle name, sorry.
It was. Well, he was ignoring the female cats.
Because they're bitches.
I can't believe that this is a thing that a real person said or thought.
In favor of male cats to whom he would regularly make sexual advances.
Oh, my God.
Now, anybody interested in the gay cat can have it, she said, because I have no further use of it.
No use of him.
No. None.
I read the story.
The woman, she was telling several neighbors that, and they had gathered, you know,
They probably prayed.
Ceremoniously.
Tried to pray the gay away.
This cat. That's right. Meowed the gay away.
Meowed the gay away.
And, so several neighbors, I guess, attested to the fact that, yeah, this was a big old queer cat. That's what I got out of it.
That's what I thought. Your cat is super gay.
Yeah, the gayest cat I've ever seen.
Well, he's probably a tomcat.
Rare.
They claimed it was credible because no kitten born in the woman's home over the past 7 years had Bull's color. Proving he was unwilling to mate with the female felines.
Oh, my word.
In his home. People, seriously. Anyway, they were cracking jokes and this and that, but nobody wanted to take the furry little gay critter.
Oh, send him here.
I know, right?
Send him here.
Bring him here.
Maggie and Marty need a friend.
Oddly, the woman's public renunciation of her cat comes after the president of Nigeria signed a bill into law declaring that any citizen who marries someone of the same gender could be imprisoned for up to 14 years.
Well, was she risking marrying the cat?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, isn't that really the case? I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's just a big cup of milk. I don't know.
Oh. Well, that's a fine kettle of fish.
There it is. Okay, well, let's bring it back to this country. Let's go to China, Maine, where police, responding to reports of screaming coming from a home in Maine, well, they didn't find it a victim of domestic violence as they had feared. Instead, they found an amorous pig. State police say a woman called last week after hearing what she believed to be a fight coming from a neighbor's home in the town of China, Maine. The caller said she heard screaming and thought there was a domestic assault in progress. Well, Morning Sentinel reports that 4 state troopers left a Dunkin' Donuts and responded to this call. The neighbor explained that she raises pigs and the screaming was coming from an overjoyed male pig that had been placed in a pen with 5 sows that were in heat. So it was all... I don't know. Police say there were no assault charges and no disturbances other than the screaming male pig. Otherwise, all is well in China, Maine.
Wow.
That was in China?
I'm not sure what to do with that because, you know,
Maine, the state Maine.
Maine.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, you said in China, like you knew where China, Maine was.
Oh, I thought I said in Maine.
No, sorry, my bad. Got it.
The squeal of the pig and then you did this whole Carol Channing thing. I mean, like, I don't know. The squeal of the pig was a little...
Oh, that?
Yeah, that.
Sorry,
that,
good.
Yeah, that was it.
That's the one.
Got it.
That's the pig.
I thought obviously the title of this article caught my eye, but I had already observed the commercial that was on, not during the Super Bowl, but a few weeks back there was Hail to the V. Have you seen this yet?
Hail
to the V.
Yeah.
Because we can't say the word vagina, apparently.
Oh.
And so.
Can on this show.
Well, vagina.
I like vagine.
Yes. My vagine. Something Stinks and It's Not Your Vagina is this woman named Erin Scott who wrote this blog about it. And the commercial shows like a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever it is. Wife's in the bathroom brushing her teeth and the guy's in the shower and he grabs the
loofah?
No, it's Summer's Eve. Summer, okay, so Summer's Eve body wash.
Otherwise known as douche. Thank you, Al.
Yeah, because it's Summer's Eve, I just wanted to get that part. So
They're not a sponsor.
Nope.
No.
Clearly. They have him take the body wash and say, oh, you know, this smells good, and he's soaping up his entire body, at which point she's kind of chuckling and says, you do realize what that is. And he loses his fucking mind. And he goes out and does everything masculine.
Oh, I've seen that commercial a couple times.
And it's not just everything masculine, because I know masculine folks, and they're not pulling a big truck with their teeth and doing all this. So I have
done that? By the way, yes, I have.
You weren't one of the masculine ones I was referring to.
Thank you, Martin.
You're welcome. Okay. But just because I haven't seen the truck pulling.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, the take on this. It says the worst thing that could possibly happen in that man's world is to be accused of being a woman. And that's how this whole commercial is presented. Because once he finds out he's using this body wash, he's instantly horrified. He sets off on a quest to remind himself and, of course, all of us that he is, in fact, a man.
That he may smell like a woman's Vagine,
hail to the V, yeah. Is what they do at the end of this commercial. And it's just very interesting how
That is stupid.
It is stupid.
Because, I mean, if I just mop my house and I smell like pines all the rest of the day, you think I'm going to have some give a goddamn problem with that?
Because it includes him doing things, like I said, with towing a car with his teeth, building some sort of metal helmet, like a Viking or a Roman kind of thing, and then mowing the lawn with this helmet on his head. I've never
thought about mowing the lawn with a helmet on my head. That could be fun.
Very masculine. Then tow the truck.
And slightly touched.
I wasn't licking a window.
Not in the rain. Don't do it in the rain with lightning.
I don't even leave my cake out in the rain. I've learned.
If I've learned anything from that tortured metaphor, it's to not leave a cake out in the rain.
By the way, I did find out. I told Al yesterday. I was doing some elementary stalking for the Los Angeles area yesterday, and found out that's where MacArthur Park is. I didn't realize. Oh. I thought it was in New York.
I did too.
That it found out. It's in Los Angeles.
Very nice.
The City of Angels has a...
I thought that's
and what caught my eye was there was the MacArthur Park Lake, and then I found out it's in MacArthur Park.
There you have it.
Go figure.
Well, let's wrap this up.
So much learning.
I love Google. Chicago, Illinois, as I don't like to say. Chicago police say a man who allegedly tried to steal a woman's car got a big surprise when she handed over the keys, then shut him inside her garage. The Chicago Sun-Times reports that 21-year-old Andre Bacon, and I wanted to tell this story only because it was a way to get Bacon into the story line of the show. Andre Bacon is charged with attempted vehicular hijacking and theft and was ordered held Sunday in lieu of $75,000 bail. Police say Bacon approached the woman Saturday and repeatedly demanded that she give him the keys to her 2012 Acura, which was parked in a garage. Surprisingly, she did. Then she closed the door behind her and then called police. Police reports say that that Bacon was trapped inside till officers arrested him around 7:30 p.m. He was sitting in the driver's seat with the keys in the ignition when police got there.
That's amazing.
Just sitting there because he knew they were going to show up. So why is well just sit there and take it like a man. Like a man.
That's right. Don't
break you like a boy.
Summer's Eve. Hail to the V.
Hail to the V. 18 minutes after 8. We forgot to do this at the top of the hour, so we're going to do it now only because we can.
And now a drink along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Good luck.
All our drinking word just changed to vagine. All hail the V.
Oh,
hail to the vagine.
So whatever drinking word you were going to use, we're going to save for another week.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure we'll have.
Because today, it's all about the vagine.
It is.
Well, of course like it is.
And a clean vagine.
As it should be.
Yeah.
Of course. A clean vagine, really.
A clean vagine.
You don't want a dirty one.
No.
Well, even I know that.
No, nobody does.
You can't
really
pull a good truck with your teeth if you have a dirty vagine.
No, it's not possible.
I'm going to let that go. Yeah, all
or
right.
Your vagine's teeth.
My vagine's teeth are clean.
Some people swear they have. So now that we've got the drinking word vagine, for those of you playing at home, it's time for entertainment. Hey!
Woo! Oh, it was a bad, bad weekend for best actor Oscar winners.
That took me way too long.
He was our heroine.
Oh, sorry. Somebody from Little House on the Prairie died and no one cared. The Walking Dead returns next week. Let me get to the right page because I never have. CBS celebrates the 50th anniversary of the Beatles. And the opening ceremonies are coming up.
Indeed. Alrighty.
Entertainment.
Which will lead nicely to sports and stuff.
That's tough.
I can't believe that I missed that when he said that. I'm like,
well, we had two die this week, so I'm going to get to IMDb.
Oh, I didn't know about the second one.
The second one was Maximilian Schell.
Oh, no, I knew that.
Who won his Academy Award for Judgment at Nuremberg, and it was a very difficult part. He was an Austrian actor who himself escaped from the Nazis, and then he, turns out Judgment at Nuremberg was a TV movie. God, our TV movies changed.
Okay.
Since then to now, that like a 3-hour TV movie about the trial at Nuremberg used to be Sunday evening entertainment.
Right. That's what. Well,
now you got to watch a story about Molly Ringwald and her dirty vagine, where Jane Seymour plays her mother. I mean,
what is
craziness.
That? I have no idea. Is it on Lifetime movie?
Sounds like it.
It will be if they. I just gave them the idea.
Oh, nice.
The script will be written just in like the next 20 minutes.
I love it. Okay. Right. Okay.
So let's start with poor Max.
Sounds like we have three people that died this week, not just two.
Well,
you said Little House on the Prairie.
Little House on the Prairie guy too. Maximilian Schell was actually quite handsome and kind of got lost there for a while. I'm trying to think of where else you would have seen him because Judgment at Nuremberg is a tough watch. So I've only seen that once, possibly twice. But I feel like he had like some big movie later, I could be wrong, of the black hole. He played like scientist guys in 70s disasters movies all the time. He was always someone that you went to that you thought was smart and sophisticated. But Judgment at Nuremberg is how he won his Oscar. And Charlie Mann, great actor, very, very handsome in his day. And continued to be handsome well into the 70s or 80s when you would have known him as just the smart guy that showed up. And then in what I thought was not particularly surprising news, a shame. I'm not saying it wasn't a sad day for movie lovers and
the like.
Yeah, or especially, and he doesn't even come up. Well, there he is. I'm like, he's still number three on IMDb when you type in Philip. Philip Seymour Hoffman, who is just a couple months younger than me, which makes me nervous. Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Well, you're not doing heroin. I hope.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, thank you. That's
so there's that.
Big difference.
Important. Yeah. There is a big difference there.
But it is crazy to think really how young he was. When they kept saying 46, they stressed that over and over. And I just thought, that's like Kelly's age. I mean, essentially.
I can't say that he didn't look older than that, though.
Well, right, and seemed living. Older because he's been out hard living.
Yeah.
Hard living. You're right. Absolutely.
And schlubby, like one of the few like working schlubby actors, never, ever lost a pound of weight to be in a movie.
Sure.
Like, was never going to play the...
It was like, you're going to go ahead and build this character around me.
Because
you have to build it around me.
But his honest gut... And
around
I had just...
Around the house.
Correct. Yeah.
Just in the last couple of weeks, just strangely enough, I've watched a couple of movies with him. I watched Cold Mountain, which I love, which I forgot he plays the preacher that comes in the middle.
Okay,
and accompanies Jude Law.
Not, yeah.
I forgot. He showed up and I'm like, Jesus Christ, who's not in this movie? Yeah. And then one of my absolute favorites, The Talented Mr. Ripley, where he kind of sets things in motion. He's very good. He is in two of the worst movies possibly ever made, one being Patch Adams, which is when my hatred of all things Robin Williams started and continues unrelentingly through my vagine ever since. And Flawless, which I think is just the most offensive movie about anyone even Flawless. Vaguely isn't that, homosexual.
With
Robert De Niro.
De Niro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was one of those movies that I was rooting for AIDS. I was like, oh, die.
All right. Oh, wow. Just, awkward, vagine. Everyone just drink. It doesn't fit, but just drink. Oh,
I
well.
Think that movie is an awkward. Offensive.
What's it called?
It's called Flawless.
Hmm.
And it's horrible. And it has, because Robert De Niro was one of the producers of Rent, it's one of the first things that people from Rent jumped into, like Daphne Ruben Vega has a role in it. So he was just using the people he had just met. So, I mean, I was very excited to see it, and it's offensive. And Patch Adams, again, you just want the clown to die. Like, I was offended from the trailer on, I was offended. But he is in Happiness, which is fantastic. Magnolia, yeah. And a great role. State in Maine, one of the funniest movies ever made. Absolutely one of the funniest movies, State in Maine. Almost Famous. I mean, the titles just get better and better. Mission Impossible 2, his 4 Oscar nominations. He won for Truman Capote, a very thoughtful performance.
Of a gay man and his
Boston married best friend. And
well, and they were talking about the fact that Philip Seymour Hoffman was not a small man, but Truman Capote was.
Right.
Like, and here, but you couldn't tell that. I mean, he was able to fit
probably a full foot taller than Truman Capote.
Yeah, I think Capote was like, I think they said like little over 5 feet, and Philip Seymour Hoffman was like 5'10", 5'11". I mean, it was pretty crazy, but you wouldn't have known it. He just was so good.
Yeah, a shocking thing. And then
he could play short.
I really wanted to just like
so talented.
And now I had never really read his bio, but I was just kind of laughing because he did all kinds of theater camps, and we are literally the same age, and he's from outside of Rochester.
Okay.
Which, in that part of the country, you know, we're all either outside of Buffalo or outside of Rochester. And he went to New York State drama camp, so I'm like, have we ever had a drama camp together? Because
crazy.
Like,
you very well may.
Sure.
Yeah, I could have crossed paths at some point. Just kind of funny. Not that I would have, I mean, I wouldn't have tried to sleep with him or anything like that, but which is all I was there for. But I mean, his
too white
stage,
and too tall.
Yeah, his stage work is really amazing.
Well, and that's what he thought he was just going to do.
Right,
that's
very surprised wanted, by that. And I actually got to see him in the revival of Long Day's Journey into Night in 2003, which no one would ever go see with me. I went and saw that alone.
Okay.
Because it is the most depressing play ever put on, and it's like 3 hours. It's like August Osage County without the laughs. And he was brilliant in it. So, but I mean, he always just kind of looked to me like you know how River Phoenix, you're like, really, drugs and Cory Monteith. Like, you just have these, you just, when it's those clean living white boys, you're always like, really? Yeah. Heroin? But then you saw him and you're like, I can see the Dirty Garage Band you were in. That you're like, yeah, heroin sounds like a good
idea.
I was
totally going to say that, like, his persona and his, you know, heroin.
But 23 years.
People that are using heroin, right, they just kind of have that kind of a thing where they're just, they're like, you know, they're low-eyed and they're like slow and slow speech. And I just feel like that's how he was all the time. And so I feel like every character he played was like that. So he was just kind of, like you said, they built the character around him. They're like, well, I mean, he's a good actor, but he's definitely on heroin. So let's make that character seem
like
that.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He's like 23 years he did not.
Clean and sober and then recently relapsed.
Oh, that you're right.
I mean,
but
so that's
always,
so wild.
So everybody,
but he always seemed
like
heroin-y anyway.
Right. You're right. Yeah.
Every character was just a couple years past their heroin addiction.
Right.
Like,
kind
of funny. Yeah.
Well,
not
the
funny.
Saddest is that he had three
in
kids.
Not a ha-ha way. And that's what when
which
that
why
came
was he
across,
in an apartment by himself?
They tried to present it at first that he did that after coming out of rehab. That, you know, as far as he's still working on it. But if you're into heroin, that's your cave.
Yeah, you go to man cave. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people have...
Because that way...
If he does theater and you make movies, a lot of people live in both cities. They have a...
Oh. No. He didn't live in both cities. He lived down the street from his...
Oh, so he was doing a
girls.
Woody... He was doing a Woody Mia. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He lived down the street. But I didn't realize that until after. And all I could think, I just sat there when they announced it. And I'm like, please, dear God, don't let his kids have found him. You know, that you get that picture of them walking, daddy, oh.
And Matt tweeted, or not Matt, too, but Matt put a post up on Facebook of like, well, I have two choices today. Watch the Super Bowl or watch them bring out Philip Seymour Hoffman's body because it was it's across the street or like
which did he do? Matt, you're in the chat room. Which did you do, Matt?
He went to bed because it's late there in New York. So
and the one other thing that I just want to comment on this and is that it just made me feel a lot of things.
Yeah.
Just the idea that heroin is how is it so popular? What I can't understand is
I think the same thing about cigarettes all the time. Though that's I just thought of you, and then I thought of like how do you get started, and then I thought, well, how do you get started on cigarettes? When
right.
Everybody knows.
And
it's
I just don't. It just is so hard for me, especially for someone like. And I'm open to trying new things, mm-hmm. right? And I feel like I may or may not, in some cases, have a little bit of an addictive personality. But if someone,
no.
maybe
to Vagine?
I am addicted to Vagine, that's true. But if somebody really said to me, try this heroin, I would just like never say yes, because everyone knows how addicting heroin is. And just to see someone like Philip Seymour Hoffman, who has three children and a wife, I presume, I don't know.
No, it was a long-time partner.
Okay. Yeah. So, but a family structure. And obviously he's successful, and maybe that's one of the demons, you know, is like being so successful. But
he wasn't when he was using before. It wasn't like he was super successful.
Oh, yeah, no.
Just for
20.
Him and then for Corey Monteith to, mm-hmm. you know, to die alone in a hotel room or an apartment on the dirty, cold bathroom floor with a fucking needle in your arm. Like, it is so, so just sad.
Well,
such a sad
life. I don't know if anybody saw
Elvis.
Yeah, but that was a heart attack. Yeah,
a bucket of chicken on the toilet. Yeah.
But that was,
and maybe a lot of pills.
No, it was, but those were like prescription drugs. That's someone that's thinking he's in the hands of like
a good doctor.
No, and I'm with you, but that's what leads to the heroin.
I think so too.
Oh no, right? You get like Judy Garland, the same thing. You get addicted to the pain. You know, you're up, mm-hmm. you're down. You take a pill to perform. You take a pill to go to sleep, which I think a lot of what happened to Elvis too.
Sure. But they do too. They were like a commodity.
They were talking today on CNN in regards to and. I'm sure we would have got to this if they would have brought it to our attention. They went back to John Belushi's death.
Yeah.
And the fact that the lady.
In the Hotel Marmont.
And the fact that the
Chateau Marmont.
They found him. He was dead. And then the girl, and I forget her name. You'll remember probably.
It's a Judy. Catherine
Smith something, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So she rolls up in his Mercedes coming from wherever the hell she was and immediately questioned her. And because she had facilitated, she got involuntary manslaughter, I believe, and she served like 15 months, blah, 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 whatever. So now they're talking about in regards to the same thing because
they know the drug dealer?
Well, they're looking because they have ATM footage of him pulling $1,200 out of an ATM hours before his death. So they're trying to figure out that. And they're saying that possible charges could be filed against whoever supplied him.
Sure.
And that would be involuntary
manslaughter. And all of the bags they said are tagged because each dealer has to, like, that way they know it's theirs. So each bag has, I think they said, like, ace of...
Well, there's an ace of hearts.
Ace of hearts.
Or an ace of spades. There's something. Ace, yeah, you're right. There were two different names on the bags.
You two are so down with the heroin.
I know.
No, this is all CNN.
It's so interesting feel like, how can you blame that guy for like selling him heroin? I mean, it was his choice to go and purchase it.
No, but what they're...
But on the same side, after he died, I'm thinking about this and I'm like, fuck these people fuck the guy who made the heroin. And I get that it's a plant and it grows, but you have to cultivate it and make it into
heroin.
The drug
doesn't grow by itself.
Heroin isn't growing.
That's
right.
A
the poppies, right.
Right.
But the like, suck it to all the people that are making it and to the people that are selling it and to the people that are like giving it. And so it's a. I feel
there
like
aren't, there aren't happy heroin stories. There aren't. No. They don't except for the Ray Charles movie. There is no like story of like, ooh, and we all did heroin and everyone was happy. Yep. But then you got to wonder like. And this is all I ever think about when people talk about gateway drugs. Are you ever just somewhere so drunk, so stoned, so in the gateway mechanism, and someone suggests something, and you're just like, sure,
what the hell?
My pants
I don't
are
think
down,
so.
Why not fuck me? And I just can't. I cannot imagine giving up the Vagine that way. You know what I'm saying?
I experimented in college personally a lot, and that was kind of always like my line. I suppose that, and I just, there's no way I could have been as drunk and stoned and et cetera as absolutely
fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah, you're not shooting. Yeah, no, no, no.
But even the idea.
And in between my toes?
But even people were smoking it and snorting it.
Oh, yeah,
and there's like not even a chance, like even to smoke it. And, yeah. Or, you know, I just like, it was just a line that I was like, I'm not going to go there.
They also said that where, as far as looking for the person that perhaps was with him, because once you get to a certain point, they said you can't plunge it yourself.
You can't inject yourself.
Yeah. To push it down. So then somebody else would have to do that.
So my guess is, that, and maybe they're not releasing it at this point, but my guess is that there's somebody security there. Cameras of somebody mm-hmm. leaving his apartment or something is my guess. And then they're just kind of lying in wait to find this person. And then boom, mm-hmm. all of a sudden they'll find them and then they'll be on one.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I would love to just and kind of know your thoughts. Al, you brought it up, or your guys' thoughts on this gateway idea, on kind of what you think about that.
I go back and
it'll
forth.
Be Joaquin Phoenix.
And it's right. Yeah. But I do the gateway thing, like, because I watch that. One of the things I bring up all the time is watching the Go-Go's documentary or whatever it was.
Belinda Carlisle.
Belinda Carlisle had a big drug problem. Hers was mostly cocaine. But I can't it's not Gina Shock. It's not the cute drummer.
That's who I thought it was.
Jane Wedlin?
I want to say it's like Jane Wedlin or Valentine. Okay. You know I'm not a lesbian when I can't name all five Go-Go's like that.
You know I'm not either. I can't either.
But one of them had a big drug problem. She's, you know, I used to smoke pot and then I went to heroin. I'm like,
fair. Doesn't jump.
It's not a jump I made. And now, and Tomo asks about the alcohol manufacturers. And yes, sometimes I think that, like, you're selling something.
It's the
harmful.
Same thing. Yeah. Going after the heroin guy. Is
but
going
it's
after-
legal. And I think, you know, a glass of wine with dinner, or as they brought up in the following on Monday night, like going my whole life without a glass or two of scotch, not really living. Like, but I can also have a glass or two of scotch and go home. So some people. Maybe there are those people, like you were talking, addictive personalities, who once you let that little bit of inhibition down, I just can't imagine a world where somebody's going to come near me with a needle and I'm not going to be like, stop right fucking there.
No,
right.
But it's all about that.
And I
kind
bring needles
chasing,
to people and I still can't I still can't watch.
They talk about it being a chasing the high and that you know,
you want that first euphoric, and you can never get it again or it takes more and
so
more.
Maybe this drug, and that's why people remember
what's
when
the,
we were
the
talking
meth thing. That's the same thing
that
meth.
Alligator ship,
crocodile.
Yeah. Right.
Are you kidding? People know this is going to make your skin fall off, and they're like,
but I'm
going to
feel
like?
Fantastic until
and,
I get there.
Right. But what I think is, fell off, I felt great.
Really interesting is like my brother says, and I'm sure that a lot of addicts, a lot of recovered addicts say, is like Matt says, I could have a beer. Yes, I could have a beer and be fine. But what happens is I have one beer and then I have two beers and then I'm out trying to score heroin.
Right,
and
right.
You know, so you can make the
one
jump.
One beer's
from
too many and a million's
to,
not enough. Right.
Yeah, but, and that's the, I'm sorry, Clayton, go ahead.
No, to go back to Tomo's point in regards to the alcohol manufacturers, I get what he's saying, but to paint with a broad brush, okay. So America's addicted to sugar. So you go against every candy manufacturer. Then you go against, you know, McDonald's because they have a delicious burger called a Big Mac that people get fat because they eat too many of them. I get all that. But and maybe I'm wrong in thinking this. I keep going to survival of the fittest. And I think maybe I'm going to be persecuted for thinking this. But for those people who have the addictive personality and they had it for the first time, boom. Yes, they get addicted. No, they can't stop. I'm not wishing anybody death. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, okay, you clean out the herd by getting rid of it's survival of the fittest. It happens in nature all the fucking time. So let's say you had a pack of coyotes out there.
One of them finds the poppy seeds and loves them.
And loves them and chews them all up and dies. Okay.
Falls asleep in a field and gets pounced by a bear.
Any of those things. I think we as humans think that we're so far above the human or the survival of the fittest thing, but I think it's still out there, and it's still a valid point. I'm not, and it swings everybody. Sure. If you fall off the wagon, I'm not saying people shouldn't get help, but it's like if you go down that alleyway and that heroin dealer's there, and you can't say no, that's the price you pay.
Yeah,
and then you just your lumps, and the lumps are dead.
And if I had a child, I mean, it was one of those things where I would just constantly bring up like. It might feel good, but it still doesn't make it right. Like, yes, that and like unprotected sex. There's all kinds of things that are like, that is, it does feel better, but it's not. It's just going to lead to something way worse. So at some point during your little bit, you know, you're just to take this somewhere completely different. But you're there. You're a little buzzed. You're a little drunk. It seems like the right idea. Mm. Everybody's about to do it, and then you're like, Okay, wait, no. We've got to get a voice of reason back in here. Like, somebody has to say...
It's so scary to think about kids and to be... one of my friends and I were talking about being parents now, and our kids are all toddlers, so we're not facing it now, but we will.
No, you are facing it now, because now's the time to instill those things in them. Like, it's the best time to teach them how to swim. It's the best time to teach them a new language. It's the best time to say, heroin's bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And make it part of the Princess and the Pea story. Well, she couldn't sleep on that bed. She shouldn't do heroin. And
we actually read her that story, so I'm probably going to put that in. Couldn't sleep on the pea bed. Also, don't do heroin. But it's true, though. Like, there are so many other good things, and I know it seems so simplistic to someone who's doing drugs, but, you know, when I was running on the treadmill yesterday, I was, like, on a total amazing, crazy high.
Euphoric high.
The
music was great. You felt the good.
I felt so good. And it's like...
I do that when I walk to bed.
Really, like, you feel great.
My God.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's scary. It's very scary. And ultimately, it's very, very sad.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's very sad. Agreed.
Yep, absolutely.
Continue on, Mr. Perkins.
Okay, so, and then Nellie Olson's father, but let me just finish my thought with Tomo.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I should probably say all
Vagine, awkward pause.
Awkward pause. I was typing in my vagine. So Tomo asked, do I feel the same way about alcohol manufacturers? And because I work a lot of times with people with liver disease, I do sometimes think that, but then I'll look at, I spend a lot of, I'm focused on how tall people are and what their age is. And, like, how do I look comparatively to that person? But I'll look at it and I think, wow, I think I drink a lot, but this person's, like, significantly younger than me and has just wrecked their life with something. And I'm like, clearly, although I like to paint myself as some, like, rock star warrior, I go home after the second bottle of wine or throw up and pass out. You know what I mean? Like... Like, my body just has the tolerance.
You're not a warrior.
Right, yeah, exactly. I may be carrying the bathroom towel to the warrior.
You're the medic.
Thanks for
to
that
wipe
wine.
Their machine, you know what I mean?
That's great.
Like, I can hang, but it's because I drink a lot of water and I fake it a lot and I just, I talk a big show. But, like, you know what I mean? But, like, I'm going home, going to bed after this. Like, this is not a gateway to anything but my pillow and possibly Turner Classic Movies. So I do think that it's somewhere in between... the people that produce the stuff and the people that consume it to have, like, McDonald's or alcohol or, like, at some point you have to take some responsibility.
I totally agree with you.
For the amount of soda, the amount of candy, the amount of anything you consume. And it goes back to that old thing, and I can't remember where I heard it from. I want to say it's maybe a proverb or something, but everything in moderation. I don't think the Bible says that, but somewhere along
Bible's
the way.
Bible's a fictitious book of stories.
Right, but, so but somewhere could. Someone said.
Parables.
Anything is okay in moderation, but then you find out that there is no such thing in meth or crocodile or this.
And Tomo just said it's called taking personal responsibility. And I agree.
Now,
Harrison chimed in and she says, I disagree with Clayton. I think the very thing we call an addictive personality is a drive to achieve just to a weird degree. And I do agree with that. I agree because those people are all trying to get to another level. They're taking drugs because they want to work harder. They want to achieve more. They want to accomplish more.
They want to get away
that.
From whatever's bothering them.
Right. I understand what you're saying, Harrison. Too. I just still think that nature put in place a thing called survival of the fittest. And just because that antelope can't outrun the cougar, sorry, antelope.
And you can be addicted to other things, too. Like, right. What are the hard things?
A podcast
things
is
work?
A great thing.
Right, yeah. Should you become addicted to this, we encourage it. But if, like, one of the hard things for
or
someone with a food addiction or a weight problem, right. as friends of mine have had, is that now you need to give up something or have a healthy relationship with something that you need to survive. Like,
right. You don't need heroin.
Right.
Or...
You need food to survive, but now you have to take something that you can't eliminate for your life and you can't, like, and I've said this before, I had a Coke problem in the 80s, and everybody from the Coke problem, save one, is gone from my life. Like, the only I'm only friends with two people, and one doesn't do them, and one has gotten sober in every single way. But anybody from that problem just got eliminated.
Yeah.
Like, you are not allowed – like, you're just not allowed back in my life. And
bad
there
influence.
Will be a very high screening because there was – there bad influence. I was the bad influence. It's hard to say who the bad influence was in the story. Like, I –
It was just bad stuff happening.
You were feeding off each other.
Right. It was bad stuff happening. It was not a good energy. And it was people that, like, okay, not only do I have to give up this, but I can't ever see you again because we're going to think that's a good idea pretty soon.
Right.
Together, I'm going to have somebody.
We're going to have a bottle of wine and somebody's going to say.
Hey, let's go get Coke.
But you go with food and all of a sudden you're like, well, what do I do about that?
Yeah,
like, I can't get rid of eaters. I can't get rid of this.
Like getting a hooker.
Yeah.
Can't get rid of it.
I got
By the way, the quote is from Oscar Wilde, and the quote is, "Everything in moderation, including moderation."
Yeah, because every once in a while, a little bit of excess is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not heroin.
That's a good quote. Yeah,
not right, heroin. No.
So,
by
the time I finish typing this, it will be a moot point.
And I love a different Oscar Wilde quote. It says, "Alas," and as he's drinking, he's on his deathbed, and "Alas, I have lived beyond my means. I shall die beyond my means as well."
Yeah.
But you know, as far as like in excess,
that's a wonderful. Funny. I have So our last death, and it won't mean much to anybody, but it was Nellie Olson's father on
Little House
on the Prairie. His name was
Nellie
Richard
Olson.
Bull, and he's dead. And Melissa Gilbert,
Richard Bull.
I know it sounds. That's what I thought too.
The guy from Night Court.
That's what I thought too, but it's not him. The same name, but a different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I could swear that.
God, I totally just remembered the show Night Court.
Really big guy.
Yeah.
Bailiff.
What one of his co-stars died. That poor man. All of the co-stars died.
All of the bailiffs. Well, he was the bailiff, but
all the judges all died.
Oh.
Oh, no, no.
Until the very last one. The one that made it to the end lived, but.
No, not the judges.
Not the judges. The
the female bailiff or whatever she was. Because
yeah,
there was Selma Diamond.
Oh, right.
And then Marsha. The black gal, Marsha Wallace.
No, she just died though too.
No, oh, Marsha Wallace, not black.
Was oh no, not Marsha Wallace. I'm sorry, not Marsha Wallace. No, but there was a. I want to say she was a black performer. But you're right. That character just kept dying out. All of them.
Yeah, every time they put somebody new in that spot, they died. And I felt bad for him. And I think his name was Richard Bull as well. Now, for Katie and I, The Walking Dead comes back this week. We find out where Carol went. I'm
She's
hoping she
back.
Went to make a movie. or she was just in contract negotiations.
She's cleaning her
vagina.
She was under contract.
She's coming back. I read it all in the In Touch or God Only Knows, Us Weekly.
Yeah, but Entertainment Weekly
all.
Has it covered. And it's back. And according to all the stars, who of course are going to say this, but they've been pretty honest about good and bad periods of the show. They say this is the
best season yet.
Yeah, back eight. Like, this is the one to watch.
Well, because they got kicked out of their safe zone. They were living
in
the prison and it got a little safe.
Well,
and so now they're out. And
I need therapy from that finale.
Oh, my God. I can't talk about that
finale just fucking rocked my world.
That little girl was the shit.
Yeah.
That was the bomb.
So good. So CBS celebrates 50 years of the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show this Sunday, and they're doing it to the day.
Which is Sunday.
It is Sunday, and it is the right time on the East Coast.
50 years ago.
And they're going to have all kinds of artists, including the reunion of Eurythmics, who I didn't realize we needed a reunion, but I guess Peace has now been 10 years or more, the Peace Tour, the last reunion.
Okay. Wow.
Paul and Ringo are doing something for it. It's a great lineup.
Yeah, actually, that kind of makes sense, the 10 years. Okay.
And CNN has a great documentary on this week. Now that I'm addicted to Thursday night CNN documentaries, they have a...
Tom Hanks and...
The British Invasion, the Beatles version. And it was wonderful. I happened to catch it. It was on in a room that I was trapped in for many hours, and I watched the whole thing, and I recommend it highly. It's very interesting about the change in culture in 1964 and the way everything about music changed from that day forward, and that people were appalled by them. Like, they were the Antichrist.
Right.
Really?
Worse than Elvis.
Even a couple years...
That's wild. I didn't know.
Yeah, even before they called themselves more popular than Jesus in a joking interview that got them, like, just crucified.
That sounds like something
like Jesus.
It sounds like something John would have said.
Sounds like something Bieber would say today.
Yeah, and it was.
Yes, but totally.
Well, I guess
different.
they presented in the CNN documentary, so you can decide how we meant it.
Okay.
But
was it John Lennon that said it?
I honestly can't remember if it was John or John.
I also heard that they were doing some special things at JFK International. The airport where they landed. They were doing some special ceremonies and some things there.
I want to say they're going to do the whole. Like,
is it all on Sunday? Is this all live?
I think they're going to do it on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
I think parts of it are going to be taped because they really did land a day before or 2 days before. And I have to say, from watching the documentary, I think there might have been a lot of mentally ill women in that audience. Like, it may be something that I just can't relate to. Even the people I'm the biggest fan of, I could imagine an emotional tear or maybe talking a little fast or excited, but this. The screaming, the They're just losing their minds. I
yeah,
don't understand.
It goes with Elvis. It goes with.
But these are.
I
like,
mean, I acted.
But these are like pubescent.
I sort of behaved that way at the
third New
Kids on the Block tour reunion. So.
And that was just last July.
It actually was.
It was.
Yeah, her and Natalie Cianciola were there going.
Yeah. And we
and
literally
I
screamed like
cheering
teenagers.
And being excited. But if you watch the.
Yes, no, they are like losing their shit. Like their heads are going to pop off.
There are still people that will do that about Elvis.
Yeah, it's weird.
Oh, I mean,
well, if he showed up now through that door,
well,
there's going to
be
some screaming from
might
over
do
here.
The same
I mean,
thing.
I've been to Graceland 15 times, and I've seen that, and I've seen firsthand how all those people react, sure. Even though they know he's not walking through the door, sure. But just the mention and the thought of, sure. I mean, the day that I sat, and I was completely starstruck, when I sat across the table from Sam Phillips, who owned Sun Records, mm-hmm. and had breakfast with him, and just, I'm like, wow, do you realize who you are? But I wasn't in all... You know, like what you're
right.
saying.
It's, you're not going to like cry and scream.
No, but I'm just in awe because
you were able to carry on a conversation. You know,
no, right? No, just I was in awe of the fact that do you realize who without you what a different right. chart or the music would
course,
have ever taken?
Yeah.
Of course,
definitely,
yes,
yeah,
crazy stuff. But no, but I understand what you're talking
when,
about.
When I went, my parents took me to Graceland. We were on a trip and we went to Graceland when I was like maybe 11 or something.
That's
crazy.
Actually on my bucket list. Isn't that strange?
Mm, and
yeah, it is.
My parents still like will tease me if it
that
comes up to this
been.
Day that I was like 11. I was not an Elvis fan, and for
and
some reason I
died. What
completely
were you
gonna... right. cried when we were at Graceland. Like I cried and I was like, oh my god! And I signed the wall. And my parents will give me a hard time about it, but I think there maybe is just something about Elvis that maybe makes people cry. I don't know. Maybe it's the Beatles too.
I don't know. Very cool
but
to
it's
stand
like
in
about
the house.
That.
And to realize all that happened there, and it's much smaller than you think
yeah.
it is. It's
is
much,
it really?
Oh my God, it's so much smaller. Yeah, you think that it's this
past,
palatial estate that's mm-hmm. you know millions of square feet. But no, it's a small house on a hill. Okay. But it's very cool. But it is kind of interesting to walk back. It's like you know of late you've seen these things happen where they found like you know an apartment from a woman who her estate had been paying for the rent, and so it had been touched for 60 years.
Preserved.
You know, all of these, you know, they find all these like kind of time capsule apartments. Graceland is the same way. Yeah. It is untouched. Yes, they've touched
vacuumed,
it.
Yeah.
But I mean, but everything's the same. The rotary dial phone is sitting there. The intercom is there. The place settings are the same place settings on the dining. All of it's the same.
Sure.
I mean, yes, there's been maintenance, but in vacuuming and so forth, but it's the same goddamn
cool,
house.
It's pretty neat.
Very,
yeah,
but it is cool.
Neat.
It is cool. But to walk through, and then in one section of the Graceland tour, you go to there's an office that was in the back of the house, a detached building, and as you walk in, they're showing you a video of a press conference after Elvis came out of the service, and the press conference was in the chair that you're seeing, like the office setting, and you're seeing a video.
Cool.
So it's very cool to realize that you're standing right there when something happened.
It's like when you do the White House tour and you realize like how much you've seen, or when you're on the in Oahu when you're on the deck of the USS Missouri,
okay.
right? Mm-hmm. The Missouri,
yeah,
and you're standing where like
no the Arizona,
no, it's underwater. That's just a little bit of swimming.
Oh, yeah.
But it goes.
Yeah, my bad.
They are bow to bow. The Missouri
yes.
is parked bow to bow with that, and you're standing where like General MacArthur accepted surrender from the Japanese, and you're like
right here.
I'm right here. Like we like
that's trippy.
Like his essence, well, that makes it seem like it dripped out of his vagine, but but in a weird fan moment, speaking of things that happened like afterwards, my mom and I were in Vegas one time drinking and playing Keno, and we were watching an Elvis impersonator, and he started singing Can't Help Falling in Love with You, and she and I were both like wiping away tears like he's so real.
It is. You just
in an earlier
you.
Story, the bourbon is so good.
In a related story,
yeah, I'm still chasing
Ruthie
that,
and Al are drunk.
Yeah, still chasing that bourbon.
That's funny.
So, and then it's Oscar month. So if there's a movie that I've talked about, or someone has talked about, or something you've always wanted to see, Turner Classic Movies. TCM, I always say TMZ, mm-hmm. and it's Turner Classic Movies.
TMZ is
doing
a totally different show.
No, I said TMZ, but you can't tell because I'm so nasal with this stuffed upness. But,
oh, that's what it is, that you're nasal because of that?
Yeah, because it's so dry that I have bloody
you
nose.
You sound the same every
day.
Week.
Oh, do I? Because
oh, no,
my
no,
head sounds awful.
I think, and your eyes look like they're, like you're stuffed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you're working
I'm just
on a
making
cold.
Fun of the fact that he always sounds the same.
Oh, yeah. So 31 Days of Oscar is on Turner Classic Movies, and they show them without commercials. And then one of the best things is they have a documentary on this year called And the Oscar Goes to, And it is kind of, it's a little bit of a history of the origins, but it's kind of light on that end. But warts and all, kind of the, how they were, it was made up to stop unions and how they had to stop that, how they caved in. Like, how many times the Academy Awards has just gone on the wrong side of history, have just been on the wrong side to placate people and just...
I never heard of that.
Yeah, so they were... They did the blacklist thing with the McCarthy era where they just caved immediately and wouldn't allow anybody that was blacklisted to be nominated for anything. They were a union buster and just slowly have been like, oh, at some point we have got to be a liberal organization. And it really, like, they really were the most conservative body that you can imagine until after John Wayne died. And they were like, okay, that's the last of old Hollywood. Now we can finally... And they have clips of John Wayne, like people that are trying to make statements or make political moves, and they go to immediately to John Wayne because he's old Hollywood, original legend, and it's just funny for John Wayne to be like, I'm not talking about that stuff. Ask the one that said it. Like, because he was sick of being blamed as like the stodgy establishment and what everyone was like, everyone was rebelling against John Wayne, and he just gets sick of it. And you can see him in the last couple Oscars. He's like, stop asking me questions. You know what I believe. Go talk to the people that are making crazy statements.
Oh,
nice.
So it's really kind of funny. And everybody, Helen Mirren talks, Benicio del Toro.
And what is this called again?
And the Oscar goes to, and they're playing it, I think like every third or fourth day they play the documentary again. Mm. And it really is good. And they talk about people like, you know, you shouldn't compete. You know, it's art. You know, it should be like a brotherhood. But at the same time, it's so exciting. And then someone's talking about like what really working is like, and then what going to that one glamorous night is, and how like, even they get caught up in it. Sure. You know, Helen Mirren does a whole thing about there's one side of you that's like, this is absolutely wrong. And the other side is like, please God, let me win. I want that fucking gold statue.
Right. I want to get up there.
And she's like, I just, you know, you want an award. You want to be recognized. Sure. So it's a very interesting, unfortunately, I didn't have time to warn you all that two or three days ago to kick it off, they did Hollywood's Golden Year 1939. And they did all the best picture nominees of 1939. So, The Wizard of Oz, Gone with the Wind, Stagecoach, Dark Victory, The Women.
Is that something that we can?
Yeah, I mean,
see
you should
online?
Always find them. But anytime there's a chance,
no. I mean, to be able to
I'm
see
sure
that.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Turner Classic Movies on their on demand channel, you can see it. But if ever you have a chance to see a movie from the ten best picture nominees from 1939. That is as good as Hollywood ever was in a year that it's The Wizard of Oz against Gone with the Wind, for the love of God. Sure. Movies that 75 years later, everyone still watches and talks about.
And I have to tell you, I have never seen Gone with the Wind. I have never.
Yeah.
And I know they just aired it because LaHoot was talking about it.
Yeah, and it's hard to defend because I guess it really, in a very, very, very underplayed way that I didn't catch until someone pointed out to me. It's kind of the start of the KKK.
Oh.
But what you have is a strong-willed female character who always has to save herself, who time and again is left to her own resources to save herself, save her family, save her children. And it's just time and again. And she just has selected. She only hears what she wants to. Everyone's been telling her, this fool doesn't love you. This one does. Figure it out. And she just only hears what she wants to hear. So it's a lot funnier than probably anyone's ever told you.
I've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I actually sat down and watched it with my folks at their house, and
it's bleak at the right points. It paints a little bit of a picture.
It's kind of
a
historical fiction, right? So it gives you like a really good picture of what life was like, and kind of gives you an insight while telling you a story.
And the foolishness of the South thinking they could enter a war without any industry. Like they made t-shirts, and they went against the people that made ships.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it lasted 4 and 5 years because of, you know, there's just no, they were dragging cannons across the country. So it just took you a while to get to the, you know what I mean? In modern day with communication.
They were. They looked great
doing
it.
They looked fantastic.
So it really is. So if you get a chance, and they're doing Turner Classic Movies with Robert Osborne, who hosts the movie. So it's also fun to get that little bit of trivia from Robert Osborne. Like the movie I picked from that year was Dark Victory.
Okay.
That was because I couldn't tape all 10, and I've seen most of them. But I decided I'm going to tape Dark Victory, Betty Davis and Ronald Reagan, Humphrey Bogart. Fantastic movie. Ooh. And Eris gets a brain tumor, and she decides to live her last life in triumph. But so there was all kinds of trivia that even I didn't know. And I've seen the movie, and I've read my Betty Davis biographies. And so the opening thing with Robert Osborne is just filled with trivia about Betty Davis selling her soul to get that movie made. So that's coming up. And then the opening ceremonies, and we'll take it to you, are this Friday. We all are conflicted. There's things going on. But hopefully the people in the Russian Federation are listening. And I don't, are they going to bring out Russian stars? I don't know who they are. Besides a bottle of vodka, what's going to dance on that fucker?
Well, they'll figure it out, I'm sure. We're going to come back and wrap up. Well, we have a whole other hour. We're not wrapping up anything at this point. Katie's going to come back with some sports and other stuff. We have the drinking game. Vagine is our word. Also, thoughtful vulgarity is our final segment of the show coming up. Oh, whenever the hell we're done with sports.
And other stuff.
At this rate, it may be about 10 minutes to 10. We're not sure. Plenty going on with Katie, Marty, Al, and myself. It's the show on Q Talk America. Thank you for being with us. If you're in the chat room, we are still in the chat room as well. Say hi. Let us know what you're doing, where you're listening from. The New Zealand, the United States. For a brief minute, the United Kingdom was in there. I hope they come back. We'll be back with sports and other stuff after this. It's Q Talk America on a Tuesday night.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening. 9 o'clock straight up. It's the beginning of hour three, my bad. We wrapped up hour two. We have 1 hour to go. I don't know what that is. What are you saying, Al?
I have one tiny thing.
Just one tiny thing?
Yeah.
I have one thing, too, before we get to Katie. I don't even know your name at this point.
Stadia, Stacey.
Thanks, Al.
We are here in Studio C, as we are each and every Tuesday night. Thank you for joining us. Katie, Marnie, Al, and myself sitting here, have beverages. By the way, our drinking word is?
Vagine.
Oh, vagine. And if you need to figure out how to use it in a sentence, well, maybe it's not your word. Not sure.
And don't eat the ones with sauce.
I don't even know. Don't want to know. I'm good at that.
I actually don't want to know either.
I'm good at that. I'm completely fine with that. All right, Al, you said you had one thing. What is it?
I just have one recommendation for the 31 Days of Oscar. Is this is where they're going to show The Lion in Winter, and it's probably not in whatever. I don't know what Redbox is, but it's not available in Redbox. Which is not a synonym for vagine. Saucy vagine.
Oh,
I got my movie out of the saucy vagine. But anyways, but The Lion in Winter will be on at some point during this. It'll be either under, I think it'll be on Best Actress Day. It's a piece of advice my mom gave me about watching old movies when I was little. Watch the first hour. Treat it like a miniseries. If you're not interested after hour one, turn it off. Nothing gained, nothing lost. But tape it. Keep it around. If you like it and you're intrigued by how much goes on in that fantastic movie, then watch it to the end and just see a classic with great, great acting. And Anthony Hopkins' first movie, Timothy Dalton's first movie.
And what's it called? The what?
The Lion in Winter. And a little bit of English history and a little bit of love of royalty. It's just so much. It's such a great movie.
My head is still spinning, and though it's been weeks, my head is still spinning from watching Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. There was so much going on in that movie between comments and this and that. My head still rattles from that. I need to watch it again.
I don't know what the theme is. It might be black and white cinematography winners, but there's a theme coming up in the next couple days, and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf is definitely...
It's on there?
On there, because I brushed past it, because I own it, so I didn't need to take that one. But Spellbound, like there's a day where they're giving you Alfred Hitchcock's first three big hits, when he went from just a work-a-day or whatever the word is in New Zealand to being a director's director to all of a sudden he was Alfred Hitchcock. And Spellbound is coming up. Notorious with Cary Grant is coming up. So 31 Days of Oscar is just great, and it's a wonderful reason to have basic fucking cable.
There's that. Before we get to Katie and sports and other stuff, I just want to let you know, and this is a recent story, just came out. In fact, it's trending right now heavily on Facebook. We have our first Olympic brand to condemn Russia's anti-gay laws. AT&T has become the first major U.S. company with Olympic ties to condemn Russia's anti-gay laws. Days ahead, which I believe is Sunday, or the opening ceremony.
Friday.
Friday. Days ahead of the opening ceremonies of the Winter Olympics in Sochi. In a post On its consumer's blog Tuesday, the telecom giant wrote, quote, "We support LGBT equality globally, and we condemn violence, discrimination, and harassment targeted against LGBT individuals everywhere. Russia's law is harmful to LGBT individuals and families, and it's harmful to a diverse society." So we apparently now have our first
hail to the regime.
Yeah. So now, with that said, I'd be curious to see
what the fucking Russians say.
No, not what they say.
I don't know why that had to be so aggressive.
What is going to happen with their affiliation with the Olympics now? What is going to happen with their connection to this? So it'll be interesting to see how that all
good for
plays
them
out. But yeah, first, I mean, that's a big one. AT&T, pretty big. That's
huge.
But that's who my service is with. That's who mom's service is with. So
mine as well.
Good for you all.
But happy to be an AT&T customer.
I went Verizon. Damn it.
Well, we'll pick you up on later.
I saw that map on a wall once. I have a trivia question for you there, Katie.
Yes.
It'll be for you, but you go second because I think you know the answer. What does AT&T stand for?
Oh, I do know that. I do know.
All telephone all the time.
No.
So very close.
No. No, I don't know.
American Telephone and Telegraph.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
You think at some point they get rid of the bayonets and the horses and you know what
no,
I mean?
No, we're still gonna keep the
just to be AT.
I have a wire in from the West Coast.
Yeah. And you just read it.
Yeah, I did. Katie, you ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
This week in sports and other stuff, the Super Bowl was not really a bowl at all, or a game for that matter. But before the game, Def player Derek Coleman made a really neat experience for some young kids. The Seahawks fans celebrated in one other way, but with riots.
Oh,
Richard Sherman praised Peyton after the win. Best and worst commercials. Suns are exploring a new trade and the Olympics.
In sports.
And other stuff.
So we've talked a little bit about the Super Bowl, so we won't beat that to death, but just not a really great game. A lot of talk on the sports channels about, does this define Peyton Manning's career? Kind of what defines his career? His incredible record?
Yeah, I don't think it does.
As a Super Bowl champion, as an MVP, as all these other things, or is it this game? So, they've just kind of been debating that a lot.
I don't think he'll be coming back next year. I think he's going to be like, I'm out.
I think he's probably done. But one thing that's really interesting is Richard Sherman, who, of course, is one of the guys we've talked about in the past, who got a lot of really negative press for shooting off at the mouth after they won the last game to come to the Super Bowl. Which, if you talk to a lot or if you listen to a lot of the commentators or even just professional athletes who have not affiliated any longer with the NFL say, look, you're so jacked up on adrenaline and you're so hyped that you just won this game that you just say things. And he did. And apparently he does a lot for children's charities. I think we talked about that last week. Yeah.
She went through like his whole.
Yeah. He's a really, really good guy. So kind of give him a break. And but anyhow, he had nothing but really great things to say about the Broncos and specifically Peyton Manning. Said he's the classiest person and player I've ever met. I could learn so much from him. Thanks for being a great competitor. That there's no reason to bash him on here. This is on Twitter. There's no reason to bash him on here. Please let just Seattle just enjoy this one. He's still a future Hall of Fame player. And also, it was really great to hear from Peyton Manning. In the press conference afterwards, one of the reporters actually said, man, this is embarrassing for you. Are you embarrassed? And I just loved his response was, I'm actually insulted that you would ask me if I'm embarrassed. All of the guys in this locker room went out there and played their hearts out, and they have all season. And we had an off game, but there is absolutely nothing to be embarrassed about that we are in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Right.
It was just the way
you,
that he
you
responded.
Were showing, just showing up. That game.
And he said, we've played our asses off to get to this place. I'm proud of our team. We had a bad day. That's what it is. Congrats to the Seahawks. Just like class pants all around. So that was so good for, kind of the leaders in the NFL at the moment. So Derek Coleman is another incredible leader and a big first for the Seahawks. It's, the Seahawks had a lot of firsts out of this game. And one of these is he is the first legally deaf offensive player in the NFL. I actually think it's funny that they say offensive player, or there's some like maybe there's deaf defensive players. I don't know. Right. But he's the first legally deaf offensive player. And he at one point.
Wouldn't it be actually the first legally deaf player in total?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's what we're saying.
I don't know why they're saying defensive player. Right. Offensive. He actually worked with the Starkey Hearing Foundation and handed out hearing aids before the game on the day of to over 100 people in the area came in and got fitted for hearing aids. And there was a young athlete that had sent him a letter a while back. I'm not sure exactly when, saying that, you know, that you're a role model for me. And I see you living out your dreams and not being, you know, not being held back by your by being deaf. And that family of that small kid, Derek Coleman,
yeah,
responded to this child with a written letter and then flew the entire family out to come watch the Super Bowl.
Oh, very nice.
So really, really cool. So like some nice feel-good stories, a lot of them coming out, but I thought that one was kind of neat. The Seahawks fans celebrated as any good fans would with fucking riots. $25,000 in damage done to the historic century-old Pioneer Square pergola during out-of-control jubilation. Six people were arrested. They were throwing bottles at police. Crazed students were lighting furniture on fire and making bonfires.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Thousands in Seattle taking to the streets. But it just is... Oh, fireworks, more bonfires. Just bizarre. Like, yeah. I don't... When the Diamondbacks won, I was in college, and we were all watching at my apartment. And when they won... Everybody, I mean, I get that feeling of you want to be around people, but we all went downtown and drank beers and sang songs and like held hands and hugged. And it was like, maybe that's because we were hippies in Flagstaff, but it's just bizarre to me. Like, my team won. Let's destroy stuff.
Yeah, set stuff on fire and throw a bottle at a cop.
Like, just like, I don't understand. How is that? What? That's so fun.
Overturn an SUV and set it on fire. Come on.
It's the weirdest thing to me.
They burn better upside down.
It is so bizarre. So best and worst commercials. We didn't really talk about commercials.
No, we
haven't. Do you guys have any feelings? Of course, like you said, Clayton, people are panning them across the board, which I think is not fair. But
yeah,
but there was no real big standout. I was proud to see and to find out that the locally produced commercial for Doritos that was done here won the $1 million.
Yeah.
They were there, but because it was such a cute commercial,
I think Natalie like went to school with that guy, or she had some connection with him. I think. Yeah.
No, so I was happy to see that for sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I thought some of them were just a little overkill. Like the puppy with the horse was like, "All right, we get it."
I know
both cute.
Oh, I thought that was very cute.
No, it was cute, but I think that's what Buddy was talking about when he said Budweiser. Now you're trying too hard. It was just like I felt very Steven Spielberg. I don't need to see a little girl crying to tell me to cry. Like I get it. The puppy's cute. The horse is cute.
Well, I was kind of surprised that Mom and I both kind of looked at each other saying, what in the hell is this commercial about?
Right.
There were some that were just way out there. Maserati was one of them, definitely. Oh, I didn't see it, sorry.
There was another one that Jason and I couldn't figure out if it was for a car or if it was for making beer. And then it was Mom that said, no, they were saying, you know, let the other countries make the beer for you. We'll make the car, but I still don't know who made the car.
There were some odd ones. I thought. And then Mom, and I, you guys tell me if we're wrong, she made a comment that she doesn't recall seeing those high-end cars ever advertised during the Super Bowl. There was Maserati and...
That's interesting, right?
Oh, yeah. Because
it's normally like Ford, Chevy.
It's like, right, it's all American. All American stuff.
Not just because Chevy was given away to
but
the
But not
MVP.
Just American, right. But like affordable American.
Right. Yeah. One of the things that I didn't realize that the John Stamos, the Dan and Oikos, mm-hmm. was a Super Bowl commercial, but I loved that one.
Yeah, that was cute, where
that's
he dips
funny.
It in his crotch.
He drips, and then the Bob Saget and what's-his-face show up.
Joey, mm-hmm.
that's
Uncle
pretty
Joey.
To kill the moment.
Yeah. I loved the little girl. The Cheerios.
Oh, the
Cheerios was adorable.
The negotiation for the puppy, mm-hmm. and Fox was on afterward because I got called into work, so I ended up watching the after stuff at work, and I saw Mark Martinez talking about the commercials like off camera, but they were using his voice and made Carrie look like she was looking at a ghost because he wasn't there. So she was way on the end of the stage, like looking at someone that wasn't there. It was really bizarre. But so he was like, oh, and everybody, there was some tears shed at this party. And I'm like, were you at a women's group? Like, why is everybody at your Super Bowl
crying?
Why is everybody crying?
The one that I
really thought was trying too hard, and I'm probably going to be, if there are comments about this one, it'll take like two to get to I'm a communist Muslim. The one about the soldier coming
home. Oh, my
home.
God. I cried like a little bitch. I love that.
I thought again, and not like, okay.
Right.
Have the family, have
it's
some people
punching
there.
Punching you in the gut with like emotion. Buy, drink beer, drink Bud.
Well, but see, nothing. The puppy didn't tell me drink beer. It was adorable. It didn't make me go, I need a Bud Light. But that soldier one, forget it.
Yeah,
every
time soldier things happen,
then again,
I cry.
Any time that goddamn during Christmas, Josh Groban comes on and they're like, "Hi, this is so and so from Iraq." I'm done. Like I'm bawling, and I don't
get
care.
That.
Same
but
thing.
There was a subtle way to make that commercial and a sweet way, and they went with a "I'm gonna clobber you like a baby seal" way. Right. And I just watched it. And I'm like.
You're
enough,
right.
And then he's and then he's in the audience and the thing, and I'm like,
what about the commercial with about all the animals? All of a sudden, they cut to Sarah McLachlan who's sitting there playing, and they cut away, and then they come back. And
the
she's
Dobie
like,
Wawa,
the Dobie Wawa.
Oh my God, was that
I'm like,
funny.
Oh my God, I can't believe Sarah McLachlan actually did this commercial.
Yeah, and the dog's like, and she's like, take it. Oh,
that's amazing. That was
kind of funny.
But I think my favorite one that I saw, and I think it was the one that, in my opinion, was the most like relevant to the product, was the Radio Shack.
The 80s called Want Their Store Back.
And I thought it was hysterical because it's calling out what everyone, it's like their biggest flaw is that Radio Shack's not relevant anymore.
AT&T, like, why are you called Radio Shack?
Yeah, every time I see a Radio Shack, I am shocked that they're not all like clothes. So I thought that was hilarious.
If you follow the link to the commercial, when you watch it online, that actually shows you, and I watched the entire thing, a behind the scenes of the making of it.
Yeah.
It was very cool. And even Mary Lee Retton, they interview her, Estrada, Dee Snider, Kid and Play, all the other ones who are in it. But Mary Lee Retton's like, I totally get that I'm making fun of myself. Yeah. I get it. I'm an 80s
it's
icon.
So fun.
Just like everybody else. Anytime I can make fun of that and it's for a good thing, I'll do it.
I loved Alf and Chucky.
Yes.
So good.
Chucky taking up the carpeting.
That's what Budweiser needs now. Awesome. Like, stop clubbing me. Yeah. Like, just stop.
Like, let's get fun again.
See, right. But you expect that.
But they
them,
did
I
the
think.
Very right. But they used to do it subtly with them reining up the. And one of the greatest commercials I've ever seen is from Budweiser. It's when they rein up the horses and they're going across country and you don't know what they're doing, and they get to the shores of. They get to New Jersey. And they bow their heads.
Yeah.
And
that's
it's like,
right.
That was very subtle. I didn't have to watch a parade and people crying. There was nothing there. You just had, like, you don't have to beat me over the fucking head. Yeah. I have a brain. And they bow to New York. And it was very subtle.
Was.
And you didn't
and
know what
right.
they were going to do till the end. I don't need to watch. And he's
a
one
puppy,
guy.
A puppy. Like, back and forth and back
though.
And forth.
But
and
absolutely.
Right. I mean.
No, and I'll give you that. The puppy
when
one.
The puppy
it's
was
cute.
Bouncing,
it's cute.
The puppy one was cuter than the guy coming. The guy coming home.
I agree.
I was like, no one else in that town came home. There's no one else on that plane that you're going to lay him and do the whole ceremony.
I thought it was cute. The Don Cheadle with the llama. No,
that
alpaca,
one. The
llama?
Yeah, the live Bud Light thing, and he plays Schwarzenegger in a table tennis match
and wins.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It was funny.
They have a model. I think it's a model, and they have all actors around this
in
guy,
a bar,
and they take him a Bud Light. And he's like, okay, and here's this model. And they sit down, and she's like, want to go here or something? And
no, she says, if I give you this Bud Light,
that's right.
Are you ready for anything that happens afterward?
Right.
And he's like, okay. Boom. Then he's in a limo with supermodels. Then he take him downtown, and he winds up with
Schwarzenegger. He gets in an elevator, and all of a sudden, here comes Don Cheadle with like an alpaca or a llama.
Just like it's normal.
The elevator.
Normal.
And the guy's like, what's going on? And he's like, hey, Don, you know. And then he walks into this room and here's Arnold Schwarzenegger dressed just
in a wig.
In a wig and
this tabletop.
Oh, I saw the pictures.
Yeah.
And then
so
the one that the last one, the one after the game ended of E! Insurance with John Krasinski. Yeah. I thought that was very funny. So they told me I was gonna be the Super Bowl ad and I thought it great, and then they're like, it's the one afterwards.
Right. Which for a lot less money.
Yeah. So they're gonna pass it. I was like, I thought, okay, that's to the point. Mm-hmm. It's like making fun of where we bought it. Like,
I thought that was cute.
Yeah. Very good.
So, by the way, four people are being questioned right now.
Four?
By the NYPD.
In connection to
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Okay, they're already
connected to the drugs.
Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen.
Breaking news.
Katie, continue.
Virgin.
Well, this is just, I'm just such a moron sometimes. So it was the day before the Super Bowl, and I was with some girlfriends of mine, and we were talking about, you know, getting out to football games. And I said, yeah, I never go to Cardinals games. I go, maybe I'm going to try to go to one this year. And my girlfriend says,
Yeah, the Super Bowl's, you know, that's happening tomorrow, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So when you say this year, meaning study, like at the end of like the way end of this year, I'm like, yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
But I do get a little bit more, I get a little bit more excited. You know, I don't really get jacked until it's WNBA season, but a little bit more excited for basketball
season. And your
vagine? Season.
Is that where the jacket?
Oh, in that general area.
That
general area.
I Googled that lady, and my vagine got a little excited, too.
Now, forgive me for, I'm going to get this wrong, maybe Marty, you know. He's a former Lakers player, and I wouldn't have actually known this were it not that I was watching SportsCenter on the treadmill. Yeah, because it had some closed captioning.
It was
actually the only thing while I was running and listening
while you were
to Lady, Katy Perry. But so they said big like winners and losers of the week, and it said losers and the purple and gold, right? So the Lakers are trading Pau Gasol. Mm-hmm. Am I saying that right or wrong?
I got nothing.
Doesn't mean anything
okay.
to me.
Anyway,
it might to your mom, but not to me.
He is like this big tall white guy. So the big, tall, not so surprising. The white, maybe. Like, big suit. He's like a very good
unintentionally racist
player.
Maybe.
Yeah, a little bit. So he's a four-time All-Star. And the Suns are in need of getting, you know, some new
some
blood
juju, yeah.
and some good juju.
Not racist.
No.
He's been being weighed as a part of a trade. So anyway, I don't have a whole lot of other information other than he is a great player. And according to some of the kind of the pundits are saying that maybe it's not such a great trade for LA. They didn't have a great season last year. And so they're just going to unleash some of their players. They're kind of cutting the fat. Okay.
But I've heard that the Suns are a surprisingly good team this year. Is that true?
Because they're starting out. They've started out really strong and really well. So anyway, kind of exciting that we might be getting this new player. So keep your eyes and ears open for this guy.
Okay.
The Olympics are happening. They begin. I wish I had like a theme music for the Olympics. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, we'll probably get sued for that.
Uh-huh.
Damn it. I don't know any song.
I think the horns one. No, just play one. Fuck it. That's the John Williams.
Oh, that good?
And see how good you are?
Yeah.
He wrote Star Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They all sound the same, and there's usually Steven Spielberg beating you over the head with a fucking puppy.
So it's opening ceremonies are on this Friday, February 7th. They run through Sunday, February 23rd. So I actually had not really given much thought to what the opening ceremony might look like until Al said it about 10 minutes ago when I looked it up. And apparently, like many other things with the Russian Olympics, they are kind of being hush-hush. Although I'm sure that generally it's kind of a quiet thing. They want to really give you the big wow factor.
Well, they probably are still trying to plan it from what I understood.
Yeah, exactly. We're still working that out.
Are they kind of like slacking on their pimping?
Everything from hotels to they still don't have like credit card machines going in hotels there.
Yeah, there's a lot not done.
Yeah, like a lot. That's not.
They've just been so worried about gays coming to the country that they can't handle anyone else.
That's right.
So,
whereas if they would have let a gay be in charge of all this shit, it would have been weeks ago done.
Oh my God.
And Beyonce would have performed.
Fabulous.
Yeah, Beyonce would have already performed.
Already performed.
Yeah. Like 3 days before, before the opening.
Right.
Danielle Bradbury, who's like a little cutie patootie. I think she won. I feel like this Danielle Bradbury won like The Voice or something. She's like a really cutie little country star kind of girl. Apparently,
I think you're right.
Yep. My Day is her song, and it's the theme song of the Winter Olympics. So expect her to be there performing. She's 17 years old. Oh yeah, says won The Voice last year. Yeah, they've got a couple of other like local.
NBC's got to get a tie-in somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got a couple. They have a couple other like local Russians that are supposed to be doing some musical things. Who cares about it?
Well, that's what I said. What are they going to do? Like reenact Dr. Zhivago for the opening scene? Like, what are you going to
play? Laura's
gonna
theme.
They're going to make it snow.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, there was a whole report on that about all the man-made snow that they're doing. They're creating.
Oh yeah. Well,
but now they've been told they're creating too much.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, it's taking over the whole city.
They're
covering
doing too
all the gays.
Well,
and they're like they're containing it with these big aluminum,
sheets.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So one of the things I think is just really bizarre when I'm watching the coverage by NBC is, you know, Matt Lauer is there, and it's just crazy to me that there are active and kind of a constant presence of like terror threats, and Matt Lauer is standing in the placa there, and he's going,
And this is the Fischt Stadium. And look over here at all this amazing architecture, which I guess you have to kind of talk about still what's going on with the Olympics. But it just seems really crazy to me that
you have to act like nothing's wrong.
There yeah. are like these really serious threats of violence to people that are there, and they're just like talking about the outfits and like
they have to act.
And nothing
to see
talked
here.
About those terrible, terrible outfits.
Yeah. Jesus.
Has Ralph Lauren had a stroke?
I agree.
Do we need
I
to
agree.
Get him medical attention? But that's this 2 years. That's two Olympics.
That's
in a row.
Right.
The last Summer Olympics were real bad.
These
with those weird berets.
These ones are like patch quilts.
I've seen these. I really thought the other ones were worse.
Where is the Summer Olympics? Greenland?
This year? This you mean coming up?
The next one. Because they go from we're going to have the Winter Olympics in a place where there's no winter.
Oh, exactly. Oh, it'll be gotcha. In Buffalo, New York.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right. I mean, like, what the hell?
Oh, Rio.
Oh, we know
that's
that.
Right. We know that.
Because I want to go.
Wow, really, we're slowing the uptake of that.
God.
That'll be fun. But there is some of the Austrian Olympic athletes have been receiving now kidnapping threats. That the Austrian Olympic Committee has received an anonymous letter containing a kidnap threat against an alpine skier and a skeleton pilot at the Sochi Games. I mean, it's just like, you know, and it kind of goes on and talks about some of the backstory in Austria. But it's just crazy that we're entering into these games. I don't know. I know how the Olympics cities are selected ultimately, and I get the bidding process, and they're all kind of vying to get them. But like, why Russia? I guess just I know last week or a couple weeks prior, I was Googling a map here, and we're just kind of looking at the place that it is in the world, and I don't know. It just seems questionable.
No, I think it does. Everybody at this point is like, was somebody paid? Like, why of all the winter places to have it? And, you know, if you think about it, the one that always comes up and they talk about it is, Jesus Christ, Bosnia-Herzegovina.
Bosnia.
What was that? What was the city that it was in that year in 88 with Katrina Witt? And it was in 88.
I think that you...
Olympics.
Winter Olympics.
I couldn't tell you.
It's in Serbia, right?
Well, doesn't Bosnia sound right?
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Oh, God, 1988.
Yugoslavia. It's in the former Yugoslavia, and they chose a war-torn country that fell apart seconds later. Like,
it's just weird, right?
Like, what was the city? What is?
I don't know. I think that's not the 88 because the 88 games were held in Calgary, Alberta.
Those are the winter. You're about the summer ones, right?
The summer ones were in Jamaica.
1984 was Bosnia Olympics.
Oh, 84.
Bosnia, okay. And what's the city? What city were they in?
They were in Sarajevo.
Sarajevo.
There you go.
Did I say Sarajevo?
No, but that makes sense.
But completely war-torn, and everyone talks about, like, that was, like, a second before it fell and all the ethnic cleansing that went on and every single thing that went wrong in that country. And they completely ignored it because, well, they have mountains and isn't Yugoslavia...
So wonderful.
I would say Yugoslavia, and I mean Bosnia.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that gorgeous?
And it wasn't in Jamaica. I'm sorry. It was the Jamaican bobsled team made their debut there, but it was in Calgary. Anyway, some other interesting, I think, Olympics news. Thomas Bach, the IOC president,
Bach,
slams politicians over the Sochi Olympics, and he is accusing world leaders of using the Sochi Olympics as a political platform on the backs of athletes and snubbing the games without even being invited. And he's talking, of course, about the United States and our president and a number of other European countries, and now apparently AT&T, who are all kind of flying in the face of Putin. And, you know, this guy is saying... Bach is saying that this is just it's a propaganda law to protect the children of Russia. And he and other people that are claiming it to be just that, it's just this, even Johnny Weir, for God's sakes, who's saying it's just a propaganda law. They're just turning their eye entirely to just people who are being savagely beaten and held against their will. And just kind of, it's an all out, it's like hunting season on gay and I would say gay and specifically transgender folks who are visibly kind of who are it's visible, right?
And he's still saying he's assured about the security of the Olympics. Mm. Yet there's nothing secure about anything right now. And this is this really pisses me off because the IOC, who needed Mitt Romney to save them in Salt Lake City. Mm. Like, this is a sketchy group of people who are becoming more and more sketchy as the days progress.
And you look at this guy, this Bach, you know, he's 60 years old, he's white, he's from Germany. I mean, it's just like that same, like, old white male institution. And it just is, it's highly frustrating. And I mean, it's just frustrating. It's frustrating. And I am so proud of our Olympic or gay delegates that are going from the United States. And I think it's insane that someone like this guy would say that we're only sending those people because they're gay. How about we're sending them because they're Olympic athletes?
Right. Yeah. They are the top. They are, at some point, we're at the top of their
sport. I mean, it's just like crazy. They are good representatives,
especially when you
of the United States.
Billie Jean King and Brian Boitano, who was on Pierce Morgan, and it was just funny because they're like, you're so known for figure skating and being a gold medalist that people make fun of it. Like, what would Brian Boitano do?
Yeah,
and his biography is actually, or he had a book called "What Would Brian Boitano Cook?" Or like, I can't remember if it's a cookbook, but it's something where he did the pun on it.
That's cute.
And he sat there with a game face on, even though I'm sure he's heard it enough times. While they played the part of South Park.
Right.
They did What Would Brian Boitano Do? It was just funny to watch him be like, I have to own that. Like, I can't run from it. What are we going to do?
Sure. Yeah, own it. And I'm super proud, as I know Americans for the most part, I would say, are very proud of our delegates.
So I want to be a little bit like I don't want to hear the national anthem in other languages. I'm just really rooting for the Americans in this one. Like, I just want to see like us do well.
I feel like it's Drago against Rocky right now.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that this morning.
That's a very good analogy.
I'm
like that.
Right back there where it's like, you hit him. Hit him harder. You know, where you just...
Yeah,
so
I have to kind of say that I'm just going to watch to support the American athletes and hope they do well, but just hope that we can get out of this alive.
Right.
Unscathed. Yep.
Because the terrorist attacks are so huge. And and now that the IOC guy's a douche, like, just don't fall in line. Don't be a douche.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading the article that you're talking about, and he just digs further and further
in
this hole.
Yeah. A small little thing has nothing to do with sports and very much in other stuff.
When you go to Bed Bath and Beyond and buy a coffee pot.
A couple of celebrity birthdays. The most popular people born on February 4th, Gabrielle Anwar. Does anyone know her?
No idea.
She's from Scent of a Woman, but more importantly, Burn Notice. She's like the really sexy girl in Burn Notice.
Okay.
George A. Romero.
Yeah, director of Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah. Yep. Night of the Living Dead wrote it. Yeah. Jeanette Goldstein from the Terminator movies. Natalie Imbruglia.
Imbruglia. Mm-hmm. And Michael Beck, who Harrison will remember from seeing The Warriors with me and Xanadu fame.
Okay. Yeah. Xanadu catches me.
He is 65 years old today.
Wow.
The star of Xanadu.
That's awesome.
Just hit retirement age.
Yeah.
Made me want to die a little inside.
Wow. Two more. Alice Cooper, who's
Arizona
local
native.
Guy. Local boy.
And Conrad Bain.
Oh, dad.
Born today. Just born today.
Not aging.
But the always funny and really much taller than anyone ever talks about, Rob Corddry from...
I was going to say Rob Corddry. I didn't know if you guys would know who he was.
He's from The Daily Show. He's one of the correspondents from The Daily Show. He's an Anchorman. He's an Anchorman 2.
Oh, yeah. He has more.
He's in everything.
Hot Tub Time Machine, which is... amazing.
And his big thing is the children's hospital, the
really
clown.
Funny.
What's
children's hospital?
Patch Adams.
No, children's, no. Imagine if Patch Adams wasn't offensive to anyone with ears or other senses. No, it's called Children's Hospital. If you have not watched it, I pity you with all my heart. It is seriously fucking funny. I don't know where I find it though all the time. It's always on my TV.
There's two quick things. You had mentioned that you wanted me to start watching some different TV, Mr. Perkins.
Uh-huh.
So I'm now recording Mom, which is fucking hysterical.
Yeah. And is she not winning? There's no other word to describe Allison Janney than...
She's brilliant. But Anna Faris I'm enjoying as well.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter what they're doing.
No.
She could kill a puppy and you'd still be like, but she's delightful.
She's delightful.
Yeah.
So there's that. How many True Detectives have there been? Three?
Three. We're only
okay, so
three.
I've seen all three of them. And I'm hooked.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm hooked in. There was an earthquake. This just made me laugh. There was an
earthquakes
earthquake.
Are always funny.
No. Hold on. in Paducah, Kentucky, there was an earthquake, and it was the night of the Grammys, right about the time that
the gay marriage was going on with all the marriages.
I was laughing so hard when I saw it. It was like breaking news underneath this thing, and it was right about the same exact time it was happening.
I hadn't heard this one.
In Paducah, Kentucky. Nobody else said that. They just put that on there, and I was dying. I'm like, well, the gays are at it again.
Sure.
Now we have earthquakes going in Kentucky because, you know.
Get it, gays.
Because, you know, we're responsible for all those things.
So now, and you have to find Newsroom while you have HBO.
I do. I have HBO to go. I got that hooked up. And there was a thing that I watched that I thought was fantastic. And it was about celebrities that are out.
Yes.
I loved it.
I can't think of it, it's a pun on out.
Mm-hmm. And it was like it went through
Neil Patrick Harris
and Susie Orman was my favorite.
Yeah, it's a delightful HBO documentaries.
The Outlist.
Outlist. Mm-hmm. HBO documentaries are the top of their game. And Newsroom is a news junkie. I know you are like I am. That show will hook you on episode one and you'll be like, I need more crack and I need it today.
Got it. And I have my list here, and I want you to go through it before I leave.
But not in an overdose format.
Yeah.
Just so that you start
moderation.
I mean the documentaries. Oh, I want you to look at the documentaries.
Just anything that piques your interest.
Six by Sondheim?
Yes.
Katie, okay. If we got the
Euros.
Chance I was going to say no to watching Six by Sondheim?
Well, I didn't think so, but I figured if you watch it, and you're like, no, don't waste your time.
Oh, no, I masturbated to it. So it was almost porn.
That's wrapping up Katie with sports and other stuff.
Now, I touched my vagina.
A little thing I just found, this just popped up.
I hope it's breaking news. I love it. I know, this is really fun.
It kind of is. In previous years, Olympic Villages have always hosted a Pride House for the LGBTs. Well, this year, of course, Putin has forbidden anything like that to happen, regardless if it's in the Olympic Village or not, and the Olympics have obeyed. However, restaurants, bars, and clubs across the country are becoming pride houses themselves for one night only. And so what they're doing is, on the night of the Sochi Olympics opening ceremonies, pride houses across the country will donate $1 of every drink sold to the Russian Freedom Fund.
Wow, that's so great.
You know, there was one other thing for other stuff along the lines of the Olympics. And now that I know that Aaron has gone to bed, did you hear, and it, not as a downer, but did you hear what they're doing about the dogs?
Yep, the homeless dogs.
Wait, what?
The homeless dogs. They're gathering them all up and just killing them.
Yeah, because they don't want them to run into an event or bother people. They just trying to make it be pretty.
Exactly.
They're trying to make the whole city pretty and beautiful so that people will come back.
What in the hell is wrong with these people?
Yeah, now Rome is cats. Rome allegedly is cats. That the cats have overrun the city, and whenever they have a big event, there's something suspicious happens to cats in Rome.
They just disappear.
Yeah,
well, they're making this a story.
Yeah, I saw
it. And that's why it's
leave the gun, take the cannoli kind of thing.
Also, in the rumor mill, 49ers quarterback Colin, is it Kaepernick?
Kaepernick
dating gay circuit DJ Luis Perez.
What?
Not mad at either one of them.
Wait a minute, time out. Really?
I'm reading it right now.
Yeah, but off something.
That's
what?
Say
off
again?
What?
Off QWERTY. 49ers, this isn't, rumor has it. This is the.
Okay.
49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick. Whenever dating gay circuit DJ Luis Perez.
Well, I'll be damned.
So, just saying, it's a rumor.
And also, Children's Hospital is on Adult Swim, part of their cartoon lineup.
Children's Hospital.
When you come up, I just looked it up.
Is it a short little thing or is it like a half an hour?
I think it's 30 minutes.
Oh, okay.
But they're funny. And when you come home, just tape it. When you come home from a bar and you're just sitting there with nothing to watch, watch Children's Hospital.
Is Megan still on it?
Mullally? She was on it for quite a while.
Oh, okay. Megan Mullally was on it.
Oh, and Lake Bell, who I loved.
And also, I'm sure Al will probably make. We'll have to make a trip to Vegas because you know who's coming to Vegas? Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, OMJ.
She's having a residency in Vegas.
Oh, I will go to see that.
Threatening Britney Spears. I don't think there's a threat involved in this. She's going to crush her little fucking ass.
I honestly love her.
I do too. And that's another
speaking
one.
Speaking of Xanadu.
I'm hopelessly devoted.
Hopelessly.
And you just brought up Xanadu, so there's that.
Love her, please, Mr.
Stop singing.
If only for a moment, could you please
don't play B17? It was our song. It was his song.
It was his song.
It's over.
What?
Please, Mr.
Just like Muskrat Love, just separate.
Muskrat Susie, Muskrat separate. Sam.
Wow, this guy is pretty intense. Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, see, you can't be mad at that.
There's one little fun fact, fascinating facts it says for Sarajevo, that they hosted the Winter Olympic Games in 1984, as we pointed out, and the games marked the only time a socialist country, has hosted the Winter Olympics. Organizers took full advantage of the opportunity and constructed state-of-the-art sports facilities. I thought that was kind of, I don't know how up-to-date that is, but then again, I can't think of.
Now, it's in Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, and this is all written in, shall we call it Sarajevan?
If you will.
All of a sudden, I'm like, what the hell?
Let me see.
What is that?
Google Chrome will translate that for you.
Now, what? Now say again what you were saying about Sarajevo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it just that. Well, I'm going to have to go back because clearly I can't read that. It just said that the games mark the only time a socialist country has hosted the Winter Olympics.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, I thought that was interesting.
Okay, moving on, 9:38, and it's time for this little touching segment. We do it every end of every show.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
Okay, our question comes from earlier with moderation and things like and that and fucked up decisions that we've all made choices when we were fucked up, and some of them were bad choices, some of them were still alive choices, so we have to judge them on that part. So what for you, like, when do you lose your sense of right or wrong, or like, what is your right or wrong? Like, the little article that I was reading was most of the Ten Commandments are so basic as to be ridiculous.
Sure.
Like, do you take it, you know, thou shalt not kill, like, thou shalt not kill any living thing, or thou shalt not kill another person? Like, where does the killing stop? Where is your line?
Where does the killing stop?
Yeah.
In the killing field.
Well, no, because there are vegetarians, yeah, and there are people that believe in the, it's part of the not killing, like,
thou shalt not kill. If you step on an ant,
you're killing. You're killing. Part of killing. Mm-hmm. So, right, I'm just throwing it out there. So, But everybody has their own sense of what's right and what's wrong. Like, where does yours, and what drink do you think you maybe say goodbye to that?
Oh, it just depends on the day, really. Mm-hmm.
And if she's had that fucking shot or not.
Yeah.
Which I get next week. I'm doing pretty well.
Good. Okay.
But that's clearly for you all to judge. You know, I don't know. It's a bullshit answer, but I don't know, because it's truly not like after that fourth of this or after that, there's like a, if you're talking about drinking,
yeah,
there's a, just like a little switch. It's like a, that just goes off, and it could be apparently after seemingly drinking next to nothing to, you know, having bombers all night long.
Yeah.
Which I have not done it forever.
So you would say is that your right and wrong has a little bit of a fluidity to it.
Oh, there is fluidity there. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, if it's based on drinking, I usually get
anything that makes, because I think drinking a little something this or something that, mm-hmm, all of a sudden everything kind of goes, well,
it's okay to try that. Yeah. The problem is that typically I know, like, I can start feeling it because my tongue seems to swell, and I'm like, and then I can, you know, and I kind of hear it a little bit, and you're like chewing your tongue and I hear it, and the little me in the rocker that's sitting up there going, here you go, drunk ass, looks down and says, okay, keep it up. Stop now. Stop. But then the me that's still having the cocktail.
And has the cash. It's like, let's keep drinking.
I got the wallet. Fuck you. Right. At which point, we've all met her. Well, yes. Yes, we have. I apologize. So.
I don't know if
Kung Fu Panda. Yeah.
I don't know if Colin Kaepernick is gay, but good Lord, there are some beautiful pictures of his tattooed body.
Yeah, he's very tattooed,
right?
Yeah, look at that.
He's got tats,
it's like
all over.
The ESPN body.
He reminds
issue.
me of Robert De Niro in Cape Fear.
Yeah, I mean, who was the Cape Fear.
No, I know, but who was the original?
Oh, Robert Mitchum.
Robert Mitchum. Yeah. So, I mean, either way, but that's what it reminds me of. So that would be my answer. I have absolutely just no idea.
I'm enjoying it on my own screen.
Katie Jo.
I just feel I should look away once in a while.
Can you repeat the question?
It's just about, like, right or wrong. Like, we were talking about, like, decisions that you make when you're a little bit drunk and how you might change your mind on a topic after a little bit of a buzz. So where is your right and wrong? Is it set in stone? Is
no.
It... Gene!
No, yeah. I mean, clearly, I don't know really that... I mean, I suppose some people's are, maybe. But really, when you kind of introduce alcohol to the situation, I think a lot of people's right and wrongs
on a sliding scale.
Yeah, like a sliding scale, and it slides. Certainly things that I would do after a few drinks would never do.
Oh, wait, I mean,
do.
I got caught the once it drove.
You do, and then you kind of wait, you look back like, oh, I don't know, the next morning, and you're like, I mean, I think like you have kind of an inherent
how
right
sweet
and wrong.
Are you that that's your yeah. Oh, I was like, God damn it! I was banging my head like, oh.
And but yeah, I don't know. I think it's hard. When there is booze involved and anyone's, you know, becoming inebriated, like first, that's the intention, you know, and you're like, when you're not just
your
like
inhibitions,
they just kind of go out the window. So there, it's a sliding scale.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll back it up just briefly. Like, is there a difference between right and wrong and just plain old inhibitions? Like, I don't think being nude in public is necessarily wrong, but I think me being nude in public
would be
anywhere outside of my house.
Really illegal.
These four walls.
But sometimes it's like a Jewish funeral at my house. Even, you know, like
the
like
mirrors
right
are
after
covered,
certain, the mirrors are covered, and I got to take a shower. I'm like, cover all that because we don't want to scare the animal. I mean, there's a lot.
Her vagine.
Lock him up back. Mama's taking a shower. Yeah,
that's right. Poor little things. Turn your head.
I think definitely in it because you can let your inhibitions go, get crazy, and still have fun and not be totally inappropriate
and not
like,
doing something that's wrong, right?
And there have certainly
you're just kissing somebody in public, or maybe a couple extra PDAs, or maybe you've said
something.
But you're not running through an HRC event yelling the N word and how everybody's going to go down.
Right, that's bad.
While you're ripping
I was
off
the
your clothes.
Kissing bandit in college. I liked to affectionately refer to myself. And
what does everybody else affectionately refer to as? Whore.
Yeah.
Katie is a whore.
No, because here's the thing. Like, I would just, like, I would go to the bars and we'd be drinking and I would kiss and that's fine, but I'm not going to, like, do somebody in the bathroom, right? Like, I'm not going to, like, take off all my clothes at the
bar. She says that like it's a bad thing.
And I, well.
Now, for the record, can we now have the number of times you did do it in the bathroom? Come
go
on.
Ahead and be honest.
Because there's got to be at
go
least
ahead.
One. Oh, really?
Do public libraries count?
We haven't got to you yet, but we're coming.
Well, and maybe
so
he was
he.
Too.
This is the best checkout ever.
But yeah, I like your card catalog.
Yeah.
Oh, the Dewey
Decimal
System.
Touch my vagine and say that again.
Dewey Decimal.
Okay, that's creepy. That's creepy.
Oh, that is a microfish. For those of you of a certain age, I understand what microfish is.
Go ahead and look that up.
It looks like a gherkin. Yeah. In this analogy, yes.
Fish is spelled with a C-H-E.
Clayton?
I'm going to agree. I think there's your inhibitions do come down. And you. One of the things I find that I do, because I'm always trying to fix things, and I don't mean that in an actual literal way of fixing things. Somebody will, and it's been of late, because I've been trying to book book entertainment for rodeo and so forth. Mm. Well, people have come to me and they're like, well, here we want to do this. We want to have like a whole hour. We want to do this. So they want to put all this shit together. Well, after a few drinks, you think that you can pull off all of that.
Right.
And then when reality sets in, you're like, okay, we can't have more than 25 minutes of whatever you think you're going to sell because people will leave. And I've actually deferred to people who have been doing this for years.
Yeah.
And they're like,
nobody wants to watch
it's
this
nice
guy.
It's nice to
for
have
an hour
of somebody making balloon animals, but let me tell you right now, you get about 15 yes. minutes max
That's
on that.
That's the best balloon animal I ever saw.
Right. So
over and
so
over and over.
There is that. I've noticed that, and then, you know, you have to send the email like, okay, look, I know we talked last night, but let me tell you what's going to really happen
here. Yeah. This is really going to go down.
Nothing I said last night is going to happen.
You should take paper with you, like print something out and just be like, go ahead before we even start talking. Just sign this. We're not.
This
like,
is not
nothing.
On the record.
Yeah. This is just a convo.
I should just have, like a little disclaimer that I play before.
Yes.
Anything said or committed to during this evening's activities is null and void based on Crown Royal.
Could you sign here that you understand?
Right.
Thank
you. Click yes, click no. Whatever. Get the fuck out of my way. But
that's funny.
I think, unfortunately, there is with drinking, because that's the only thing that I have any experience with, there does come that inability to distinguish sometimes between what's you're as a mortal you are capable of, and then when you think that you're actually, you know, Superman.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I think, fortunately for me, as I've gotten older, that line has become very clear, and I don't do that. Like I said, I mean, that's part of what this riding the bikes all over the place is. You want to make damn sure you don't do stupid things, because everybody thinks they can jump in a vehicle and just take off and drive, unless you're just blotto and you realize you can't.
Right. But
there
is
that
the
line.
But that's the problem. That
true.
Blotto and you realize you can't, those two things are not mutually exclusive.
No, I do agree with you. So that's why we're just going to hedge our bets and just ride the bike everywhere, because... Mm-hmm. Even if I'm cold, I don't give a shit. I'm not in a...
Well, that's when right or wrong... When the car driving thing gets into that weird place of like, I know I shouldn't drive and I'm going to DUI, but I can't face having to come back for this car. Or something's going to happen to my car if I leave it here. Something really bad is going to happen to your car if you drive it.
Right.
Yes.
Or to someone.
Oh, right.
Oh, definitely,
But I don't... I know we've all made bad decisions and the liquor's been involved. Like the saying that I've said before, you know, you go to bed at 2 with a 10, you wake up at 10 with a 2.
Oh,
and you're like, chew off your arm, here's the bus pass. In fact, I'll call the bus and they'll show up here for you. We've all done that.
What are the odds you're still in a blackout? Because I'd like to be.
I'm going to close my eyes again.
Yeah. Nah, shit. Still here.
Have you seen this app? It's called Board on Time, and it'll tell you when the train's coming.
Yeah. Yep. Where's breakfast? McDonald's. Yeah. Corner of 7th Avenue and Indians. Yeah.
Good luck to you. It's a new McDonald's.
Egg McMuffins every morning.
That's awesome.
Today can't be different.
By the way, are they a 24-hour, I think? Because I've seen cars there at all times
they
of the day and night.
Now.
That one. Got it.
No. They maybe not.
Alfred, you and you're answering your own question.
Well... I'd like to think that my right or wrong at this advanced age is pretty much set, and I know before I drink what's going to be right or wrong.
Well, and can I interject that you know what situation you're going to be getting yourself into now?
Yeah.
I would think. Like, we're not all 21 anymore, and it's like, let's go out and get crazy.
And
you know, it's like, you know what's happening.
Like, I'm not going to go on vacation and have a drug dealer from Mexico City sitting next to me in the condo. Like,
thank you.
Yeah, we didn't meet.
Right.
Because I found out you were the drug dealer, and I didn't, like, I don't want them. We're in Mexico City.
That kind of shit's not happening anymore.
You can pass me the joint and I'm going to smoke it, but our relationship ends thereafter.
Yeah, but because your right and wrong is more established, right? As we're like older and more responsible, like, you know, that right and wrong becomes more established. So
and sometimes you just choose, that sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun, but I'm just going to decline because I don't see anybody else there making really good decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I might be outvoted into bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I laughed
and we'll just succumb
after Dancing with the Bars. And Sean and I were at Charlie's Taco Stand, and there were some really super cute drunk little. Oh, we were. Yeah.
I was right next to you.
Yeah, we were hammered, and there were like the cute
I
drunk
saved
little
that.
Kids. Yes, you did, and thank you for that.
Yeah,
cute drunk little boys who were like, "You guys are so fun! Come to the after party!" And I was drunk, but I was like making good decisions, like making positive decisions, and. No good is going to come out of
that
after party.
Yeah.
This taco stand is my after party. I'm not going.
But isn't that you weren't sorry? But that's the night that Cienciola got in the Rumble. That started the Rumble.
Oh my God. Now that was a bad decision.
That's
yes.
when I grabbed that because
you
I was.
Are, yep.
Yes.
You are
okay. I thought
correct.
I didn't realize what story you were going to. I thought you were going to that story.
You are right. Yes, you did.
Yeah, that's when the Rumble started between Cienciola and whoever the hell else it was because
oh
she
God.
Thought she was invincible.
Yes, that was a bad decision on her part. That was a sliding scale of bad decision.
And the one thing that's never under control, though, and hopefully someday that's part of my future, is the mouth. And sometimes I'll realize a lot of times I'm going for funny and I end up with, I just hurt somebody's feelings for no reason. Or you're like, they're not in a joking mood. Or I'm trying to make a point about, and this happened recently in a, at the end of a, an emotional day, an emotional meeting, and I said something to my boss of like, I made a point of something that was so long ago and so did not need to be brought up again. And all of a sudden, all of us are caught up in drama from like 2 years ago. And it's a big part of my fault of just, I was trying to make a point. And I was then I realized I was off
so like
by a
this is
years.
Why we do it this way.
And then I was trying to make it relevant, and I threw somebody so far under a bus that I'm like. And then as I was trying to apologize to her the other day
you
and be like, I was
worse.
Like, oh please, there was a shovel, a backhoe. Yeah. I mean, it was just
by the way, heavy equipment. Swore you'd never call me that again.
Yeah, and I mean, my head was halfway up my vagine the whole thing. And it was one of those things where I just, it was an emotional, it was too emotional, it was too close to the surface. And I was, you know, it was about bullying, and I just accused someone of something that they had long since apologized for and gotten over. And I was like, oh, that's a shitty thing to do. And I should have known to just be like, take the point for what it is. There's no reason to drive that fucker home.
Sure.
Because you had to drive backwards 2 years to get to home.
Right.
All right. So our follow-up question, and he brings it up. So
I've been nominated.
Wow. Well
so, done. And I say this all the time about young people. And when did your sense of immortality end? Like when, and everybody has it.
Oh, God. I was 19.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. When I was supposed to be on the motorcycle with Jesse.
Oh, yeah.
And wasn't. Yeah. And realized that at 19, we could, I mean, because that didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Didn't make any sense. And I would hazard to say that it would have been more like in eighth grade, there was another situation where, and honest, it's just weird how you look up and whether it's a Dolly Parton concert or, you know, like just weird things kind of happening. But there was a gal named Danielle Lieberman when we were in eighth grade. And had it not been for me getting confirmed the next day, I would have been on a plane with her and her dad. And brother, or the brother took my place, because I was supposed to go with him, and the plane crashed.
Oh, my God.
It's not the Detroit to Phoenix one, is it?
Mm-mm. Okay. This was a small flight. The dad flew from St. Paul to Wisconsin and did like a turnaround as far as dropping some things off. And the next day, I got confirmed, and there was this horrible blizzard of a snowstorm. And we woke up Monday morning to go to school, and school was canceled. But it was through that there were different stories that were going, and they said the plane carrying. And I remember laying there hearing Danielle Lieberman. It was on the radio.
So when did
Lieberman, and I thought I was supposed to be on there. So and then Jesse at 19. So it's just kind of weird. Like, what's my purpose? That's
so,
my
but when did you stop making decisions based on the reality that you were not immortal? Does that make more sense?
There's not enough time for me to stutter. So go ahead, because I honestly don't know.
Okay. Because there's the feeling of death is possible, but then there's the feeling of, but it's still not coming to me.
The reason that I kind of went like that is because I honestly haven't thought about it that way. Because obviously where you kind of, you duck twice.
Damn, Gina, that is some Final Destination shit.
No, but I mean, you kind of duck it twice and you're like, haha. Can it get me? And I never looked at it that way.
Those are choices about getting on a motor. Those are like, you know.
No. I mean, like, just not die. Like,
yeah.
You
but
know.
When did you start making choices that were based on like, oh, that shit can happen to anybody?
Have I ever? I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. I honestly don't know that I have, and so now I'm kind of thinking.
Go. Okay.
I don't recall when I started making decisions. Based on realizing, like, that I'm not immortal. But I do know that over the last, as my sister, it's interesting that I didn't realize it in myself, but I realized it with my sister. Like, as she started getting older and doing things, and, you know, going out and going out drinking and or doing this, and I think far more about her. I think maybe I started realizing it for myself when I started realizing it because of her.
Right.
You know, and she'd go out to a party and I would say weird things to her like, okay, don't get too drunk because you don't know who's who. Make sure you have a girlfriend that's going to watch out for you, and like, don't put yourself in a bad position with a boy, and you know, all these
things. Tell me exactly where you're going to be, where and what time you're going to be there.
Who you're going to be with. And I would, and I was the one kind of going always like, I will be at home. I will pick you up if you're drunk. I will do, I will, yeah. I'll pay for your cab. Like, so it was not ever a realization that I had for myself, but it was when I started thinking about it in terms of somebody else.
And then you started to go out and realize, do I have a girlfriend with me?
Then I started doing it. And I used to be that person that was like, my friends would go, I used to like disappear. And I was like, I'm invincible. I'm fine. And it wasn't until I thought about Morgan doing those, you know, being not invincible.
Chili cook-off, 2004.
Yeah, there you go.
I think mine would have been in my late 20s, only because I was because of our situation when I was younger, I was the man of the house or the adult, you know, and I was always responsible for doing things as a kid. And so I didn't get that freedom to be a kid until I literally, since I moved out here and I really was, you know, in my mid-20s. So I think there was a little bit of a, ooh, my freedom for that. And
you're kind of not living chronologically. The mistakes you should have stumbled off at 16, you did a little bit later.
Much, much later. And so I think that kind of caught me a little bit later in life. So I think probably late 20s, early 30s is when I was like, hang on. Sure. You know, I need to make decisions a little bit better. Not that they've all been better, but it just I think that's... So yeah, I think, like you said, not living chronologically. Go.
Oh, and mine was just in my like early 30s, just looking around and being like, any of these stories could just end with a body in a dumpster.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, nobody knows where I am. I have not been clear. And all of a sudden, it just turned into, all right, if I'm going to go hiking, I'm going to call somebody and tell them where I am. I'm going to be a little hyper-diligent of making sure I'm accessible. Because I like to do things by myself and travel alone and travel without telling people. And all of a sudden, I'm like, you might want to, because you might turn up missing. And then I saw that 127 Hours movie, and I'm just sealed the deal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Panic City.
Wraps it up. It is the end of Hour 3, the end of our show for this Tuesday night. Thank you for joining us. Katie June, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, I'm Clayton McKee. We do it every Tuesday night from 7 to 10 right here on Q-Talk America. Thank you all for joining us. We will be back again next week for another fun-filled 3 hours, and hopefully we'll all be a little bit more awake. I hope to God I am. Because I feel a little low this evening. We're all kind of calm, but it's all good. As we leave you, he's going back to bed. We'll leave you with this. We will
see you next Tuesday.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.